The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Jarvis!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellfish together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress, and a big show it will be. The boys are back from the combine, and as I tweeted out earlier, they are brimming with 411. Lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of options for the Patriots this draft, a very, very deep draft, and these guys saw it firsthand, the workouts, the interviews, talking with other press there, talking with coaches, players, just a really good trip, and I think we're going to have to probably maybe step it up even further next year.
Are you going to do it?
Talking to Matt, maybe we do Radio Row.
There is a growing Radio Row, yeah. Including the Steelers go all out. The Steelers had like a full all-access video setup. But, yeah, there were like maybe four or five places now where they've added.
I think the Combine has become the national convention for the NFL. The Republican or National Convention.
A little bit. I can see that.
Every agent's there. Every coach is there. Every GM is there.
They kind of give their state of the team address.
So I think all the officials are all there. You know, the only thing missing is the actual current players.
But even some of those trickle around town.
Yeah. Yeah. Reports were that Aqib Talib was there meeting with the Patriots.
But in terms of, full attendance, the bigwigs are there. And including the agents, and that has become sort of the convention.
The only problem is they're just about ready to outgrow their space.
Yeah, you think so?
Yep.
Really?
900 credentials media this year, and in that, it's a club, a long kind of club room.
Yeah.
It's getting kind of full.
Huh. Well, we're going
to... It's hard to get from one side to the other. They have the three podiums that are set up in almost like a semicircle type thing, and... If there is multiple press conferences going on at the podiums, and then you're dealing with the guys that are at the tables, it can be hard to sort of get from one side of the room to the other.
I treat it like Bourbon Street. I go out in the hallway down and back in.
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too. They might have to do something.
If you're doing a radio show, a lot of the availabilities happen during that noon to two stretch.
Right. Well,
like a lot of the podium and the tables. So.
And you'll obviously get Bill on.
Well, I think... My thinking is, and I know people want us to get into the actual stuff, but my thinking was, we'll have a lot of the press conferences and stuff live or on demand on the site, but we do a wrap-up show
at
6 o'clock or something.
Sure.
Or 4 to 6 or 6 to 8 or something like that.
Definitely. I love it. Are you coming?
I don't like that as much.
I would come.
Is it 6 to 8? That's Weber Grill time.
Well, we can go to Weber Grill at 8.
Not a big fan of that.
You going to go to host?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we would do the full Monty.
What are you going to do all day?
I would help out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wondering.
I'd gather info for you guys.
I like it.
I have other things I'd be doing also during the day,
All right. I'm going back to the hotel, guys. See you later.
Meetings?
Remote office.
I could carry Paul's Diet Pepsi around for him.
All right.
He did go through a lot of Diet Pepsi.
So
he would come over with two. Oh, you don't want one? Okay, I'll drink them.
All right.
I could be like a mule strapped with Diet Pepsi.
I have to admit that I did that. Andy got me Diet Pepsis a couple of times, and he got some for himself. So there was at least twice that I intentionally got more than one, kind of knowing that he already had one. He's probably not going to have another one, and knowing they wouldn't go to waste.
And 2 seconds later, they're both gone.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATH-500, toll free. Everybody's here. Eric, Andy, Paul, me, Kevin's in the booth. Kevin.
That's his name.
Yeah. I don't know why I had a blank there.
Because you're you.
Yeah. Guys, first impressions coming back, Paul and Andy, you know, compared to other combines, how would you compare this one?
Very similar. I think they're all the same on the surface. Every year you have the massive press conferences for a couple guys, and, you know, it's Manziel and it's Sam. My overwhelming was just everybody raving about the draft, how good it is, the depth at every position. Usually they say, they give you, well, you know, every year it goes in cycles and they're deep at these few positions and not as much. Everybody says every position is deep.
Is that purely because of all the juniors that came out?
It's part of it, and that is the second thing that Kevin Colbert, you know, my guy that I really like, added to.
Yep.
It's a very deep draft, very immature draft. Because there are 100-something underclassmen. And he said he thinks the way this is going, which was 50 a couple of years ago, 75 essentially last year, 100 underclassmen, you really have to invest in your player development because, you know, there's a lot of guys that could get washed out who probably have the talent, but maturity, off-field, on-field, all the various things. So young talent that you need to maybe coddle to get the most out of. But deep and young.
I mean, do you think that this... assuming that this trend continues where you have a lot of underclassmen every year, could this change NFL coaching staffs where maybe, you know, you bring in some more coaches that are specifically tailored to deal with these young guys and kind of spend more time with them technique-wise learning the system so that the other guys – can spend more time, you know, with the veterans and everything like that? Because you can't waste a lot, you know, the spring and you can do that. But once training camp starts, you can't waste time coddling these young guys, you know?
Could be. I mean, we generally have a smaller staff. And, you know, like I saw in Green Bay, Kevin Green got fired, let go, retired, whatever. And they went from a team that had an inside and an outside linebackers coach going back to just one linebackers coach because there were too many voices. You know, you're hearing different things. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that would be personal preference, but I think he was also including sort of, you know, the Kevin Andersons and the people that do everything, developing the player on and off the field, apartments and maturity and, you know, money and whatever, everything.
And I do think, Freddie, from your perspective, there will be more of that. And I know that teams probably do it already, and I know we do it as well with some of those guys, but I think there'll be more of an emphasis placed on we need to be there for a little bit more help. Because I think football-wise... they lack experience, but I think that they have I think there's probably very little difference in terms of technique with an incoming third-year player as opposed to a senior. I mean, I think that once you play 3 years in college, you pretty much have an idea of how to play the position, unless there's a special circumstance individually where a guy changes positions, you know, like a Richard Sherman-type situation where he changed. But I think maturity-wise is, I think, what Kevin Colbert was talking about. More of a chance, and how did he put it, Andy? Because if you have something go wrong off the field early in your career, it's really hard to overcome.
Oh, yeah, it can be career-ending.
Well, that's the thing. You bring in these young kids. If you don't give them every opportunity to succeed and every kind of support system that they need, it's a wasted pick.
Right, and you're hurting yourself, not them. I mean, yeah, their career ends, but you also wasted your time, energy, resources, money, everything.
And I do think there can be a big difference between the maturity level of a fifth-year guy as opposed to a third-year guy.
Yep.
At that age, that's a big difference to me.
You just sparked something in my head. Do we know scouting budgets?
If there's a spark in your head, that's
a blaze.
Inferno.
That's a blaze.
Yeah.
No, because what I was thinking, you know, you bring in 7 is the average. You bring in 7 draft picks and, let's say, 10 undrafted rookies. So 17 players you bring in. How much have you invested in 17 players? $4 million divided by 17, $2 million divided by 17. Even, you know, before you pay them, you've invested a ridiculous amount of money, scouting budget, because that's what you're doing.
Bringing them here, going out there, housing them, feeding them.
Right. Workload. I mean, guys whose full-time jobs are scouting.
Right.
So it's not, and it's everybody. You know, even though we look at, T.J. Moe. Well, you spent a full year deciding that T.J. Moe was going to be the undrafted free agent rookie receiver you wanted to sign. Even though you're not going to pay him big money, he doesn't get a bonus. That scouting budget, part of it is T.J. Moe.
Yeah. And I think part of that should be time, the time spent with that guy.
Yeah.
Getting back to, you know, increasing staff so that, you know, you're not spending more time with the young kids and then, you know, to the detriment of the older guys.
And speaking of expanding staffs, not what you're thinking.
Not what anybody was thinking.
Apparently what you were thinking.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
We rode the plane down with Vince Lombardi. I mean, Mike Lombardi.
Really?
Who was
That's a story.
Obviously
that would be a story.
Added. And the Greg Schiano just won't go away. He's in the box. And right. He certainly looked like he had the same credential that Paul and I had from the New England Patriots. Although there's reports he's taking a year off. His family's in Tampa. But I just wrote something Paul and I are putting on the blog, sort of our takeaways. And I think that's interesting. Whatever his role is, Lombardi's actually here. He's assistant to the coaching staff. And Schiano's a consultant, a friend, a voice. You got a couple new veteran voices that we haven't had. You know, it's been mostly John Robinson and Nick Caserio and Bill, sort of the overwhelming. Maybe you get a little more veteran experience that'll tell Bill to, stick it if he tries to take Tavon Wilson.
It's not a bad thing. Every year you come away with one guy that, wow, he really impressed me, and then one guy that, you know what, no way. Anyone off the top of your head?
I feel like I'm going to disappoint. Not really.
No.
Neither extreme really hit me, and maybe that is the depth of the draft. Maybe these are better prospects. I mean, there's some guys where you just, like, laugh them off when they say stupid stuff, but nothing really stood out in either direction.
I had a lot of guys that impressed me. I thought a lot of guys came across very well polished. The quarterbacks I thought were all excellent. I thought Michael Sam came across very well.
He rubbed me the wrong way a little bit, though.
I didn't have...
And not like that.
Again.
Yeah,
nobody was thinking that.
Nope.
He really is beyond...
It's good to be back.
He's incorrigible.
I didn't really think that anybody... I was impressed with a lot of different guys in terms of the way they handled the questions. A couple better than others, but for the most part, I think Andy's right. It was deep. There was a lot of guys that I thought did a good job of handling some of the stuff. Even
did you
guys,
think they were less like... Remember AJ, the guy from Florida State, the linebacker who... I wasn't running from
Nicholson.
The cops. I went to go get my ID, and I tripped and fell in the bushes. I wasn't hiding in the bushes. Doesn't feel like there's as many of those guys around.
I agree, and I thought that some of the ones that I did hear from were talking about, listen, you know, one kid, a cornerback that I talked to on Sunday from South Carolina, Victor something or other, Hampton maybe, had talked about, you know, and I, you know, the adversity I went through, and, you know, he went to four different high schools, and basically what I'm here is I want to make sure that I get it across to the teams that I'm a good person, and, you know, these things. Victor Hampton. I think that's the name I came up with. I just thought he did a really nice job, but there was no big story. Like, you started doing some research on it, and, you know, he talked about, like, one of them was in Charlotte, and his mother thought he was sort of starting to get in with the wrong crowd, so we transferred him. And it was basically to try to keep him. He never really had any, you know, long history of arrests or anything.
Feels like a cleaner draft class. Maybe more will come out, but it feels like a little bit of a cleaner draft class.
And it's deeper talent-wise overall, according to
everybody.
Well, maybe that's why it's cleaner, because you have more talent. You kind of wash away some of the punks and the more guys you'd be taking chance. I mean, it's not perfectly clean.
No.
There's guys
with
arrest flags.
There's arrest guys like Jason Otto
from Oregon. But it feels like the past few years, all we've heard is, this isn't a good draft.
Right.
It seems like we've heard that for the past three
years. This is a good draft right now.
Finally, we have a good draft.
According to all the experts.
I'll let you know in May. It might change between now and
somebody wrote, you know, in April, we'll be shooting down a lot of these guys.
One guy that did not come across very well to me was a defensive tackle out of Minnesota who has sort of been tied to the Patriots a little bit, is the Hageman, Rashid Hageman. Not very well polished. That doesn't mean he can't play. He would strike me as kind of a little bit of it. He's 6'6", and he's more of an interior defensive lineman. That's really tall for a defensive
tackle.
Kind of like
Tommy Kelly.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to dismiss him because I didn't think he sounded very well. He could have been nervous. It could have been simply a result of that. But I didn't think he came across as well as some of the other guys. But Andy's right. There's not a lack of confidence in that room.
And I was going over some of the stats, and if you're a team looking to – you know, simulate what the Seahawks did with the big corners this isn't a draft for that, because a lot of the top corners are 5'11 or 6 feet.
But there's a lot of talk now of safeties moving to corner. There was the one kid out of Western Kentucky who said teams flat out told him if he runs a decent 40 here, he is going to be a corner at the next level.
But isn't that kind of a wishful thinking? Because we've always been taught, yeah, you can make a corner a safety, but if they're a corner, they play corner. And so why?
Well, but he was talking about he played a lot of man coverage throughout, you know, a lot of zero coverage.
Yeah, it sounds like Siobhan Wilson to me, right?
Well, I didn't say he's going to be Richard Sherman. No one said Richard Sherman was going to be Richard Sherman until he became Richard Sherman.
I know, but isn't this?
I'm back, baby.
Yeah, but I just think
they're insane.
Don't you?
There is all as Pete,
told
Pete Carroll joke.
Corner,
yeah, take
play corner.
There's going to be Feel free, follow them all, take them all, because he knows if a lot of teams try to take all these big corners, then his guys, Golden Tate, will be blowing by him for touchdowns.
Exactly.
But you're still going to seek it. People like Pete have been seeking it for 20 years.
I think that's a little bit.
You can't force it.
I think it's wishful thinking. It's sometimes a little arrogant. Oh, we'll teach him how to play corner.
Well,
and Pete did that.
Do you force it?
With Tabucky Jones,
right,
yeah.
And it didn't work.
Right.
This time it worked.
Right. This time it did work. Right. But Pete knows that's very rare.
You're always
Pete
trying.
Pete was very interesting on that topic.
Yes.
I had a blog post about that, and you know, it just him talking about. There's just not that many guys on the planet that are that big that run that well.
Right.
Yeah, those guys are actually rarer than big fat guys, you know, defensive linemen or whatever, to be, you know, 6'2 and run a 4.4 40,
right,
and be able to spin and move and do everything.
And I really
need.
Think that, you know, look, there's no denying that they're good, but they're also helped out by that aggressive front that they have.
Sure.
And the ball having to get out of the quarterback's hand quicker. I mean, they really work together. It's a very good complementary defense.
But so did Darrell Revis and the Jets.
I don't know if you put Richard Sherman on an island without a lot of support, if he'd be as good.
He wouldn't be.
You know?
Just like Tom Brady wasn't as good last year because he didn't have the weapons for a full year. Football's a team sport.
Yeah.
You don't have to stick your chin out at me, whatever you're doing over there.
No, but I think there is a guy, Darrell Revis, he's going to lock up with anybody without support and stay with him as long as he has to.
But if he doesn't have a defensive front in front of him, he will struggle more than when he has a defensive front.
More, but not as much as maybe a guy like Richard Sherman.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't
know. I think Richard Sherman's going to lock down anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
He's as good a lockdown quarterback as Darrell Revis.
I looked at the Super Bowl in the first quarter. I didn't think it was pressure-related. I thought it was coverage-related.
Yeah.
Then the score got out of hand, and all of a sudden Manning got the crap kicked out of him the rest of the game. But Manning was off early in the game and had time because he didn't have guys to throw to.
Well, anyway.
Well. But I think Richard Sherman. Now there might be other guys that benefit from that. Like the Maxwell guy on the other side might benefit from the pressure. But when you're great, like Revis and Peterson and Sherman, you're going to get. And by the way, I picked those three names because every cornerback in the draft compares himself to those guys.
Yeah, and
they're all as good as.
Wow,
as,
so it is a deep draft.
Oh yeah,
every one of them. Well, and all the safeties are Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu,
including a guy,
and Cam Chancellor,
a guy from Northwest Missouri State who's a seventh round projection / free agent. Brandon Dixon, maybe? Best press man coverage corner in the draft. I'm like Sherman. Can lock down like Sherman.
That's what he says.
I forgot to ask. Does he have a story?
Did he have a story?
You know, did he start out at Florida? Is
no.
he Janoris Jenkins?
Well, not that I got into, if he does. I'll have to do more research.
Because remember,
him.
Like Janoris Jenkins, you're like, oh, this guy out of Alabama State or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, he started at Florida.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if this guy started
the
at
difference
Northwest
being
Louisiana
that he's
State,
a first-round projection, and that's why.
No, I know. But I like, you know, some of these guys, you need to follow the track record a little to find out where
like
they start.
Well, it's like the kid that was born in Haiti there, had the funny name, Pierre Desir, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He started his career at Washburn, Division II, and transferred to Lindenwood, which I think is a Division II school in the same conference. And it was just because he had two children, and at the time his fiance is now it's his wife. His oldest daughter is 7. You know, he's, well, you know, whatever, 23-ish.
So he's Fred Kirsch.
When I was 14.
Yeah, we made that we made that comment in the club, by the way. but you look at it and you say, oh well, Division II. But he started at a Division II school, so I think it was just because he grew up playing soccer. He moved to the United States when he was 4. He played a lot of soccer. I think he was a little late to football, but evidently one of the better athletes of the draft and a highly regarded. He's a day two prospect, probably a second round
pick.
Any
man crushes like Richard Turbin?
Robert
Turbin.
besides Arthur Lynch, no.
How about?
I had to leave them alone for a little while during the course of the combine.
How about bench press? Anybody do anything spectacular in the bench press room?
I didn't see any. There was
a lot of very average numbers coming out. Maybe they finally realized that's not very important.
Right.
Right, because all these guys do it, and then their careers go down the pisser.
Right. Yeah.
No, I
was impressed with Clowney, too, by the way.
Yeah?
I thought he came across pretty well.
A lot of people, of course, asked him about the work ethic thing and all that stuff, and he said, you know, watch any of my practices. But what about the games? Mm. You know?
Yeah practice, who cares?
Right.
It's the game that matters.
Well, it does Bill matter.
I know it matters,
but
the bottom line is, do you perform on game day?
I've always said I wanted a pass rusher who takes plays off. I'm not sure games and seasons are where I really want to go.
There is part of me that likes that. Like,
maybe he'll be that great.
Good.
Oh, there
he's
is.
That good.
But there's part of me that thinks you'll get a decent rookie year. You'll take 2 years off, and then the fourth year will be good again because he's going to try to get that second contract.
Absolutely a possibility.
I mean, he's certainly not J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is going to give you whatever he's got most plays to the end, and that's part of the reason why he's so dominant. It isn't just that he's talented. It's that he has that motor. I don't think Clowney is that. The question is, how good is he? Julius Peppers isn't that. Mario Williams isn't that. But they still have been very productive NFL players.
Yeah.
I think DeMarcus Ware is more in the mold of J.J. Watt. I think DeMarcus Ware, when healthy, gives you most of what he has. So you have to the talent and weigh that out with the effort. And where do those two blend together?
Any insight as to which way the Texans will go with their pick?
No.
Absolutely none.
No.
Nope.
If they went a quarterback, would it be Manziel?
Well, everybody assumes it's Bortles.
Yeah, I would think it would be Bortles if it was quarterback.
I didn't love how I watched him throw. He's got a little bit of a weird motion.
You didn't love him throwing. How you watched him throw is...
I did a fine job watching him throw. Yeah. You're right. I didn't like how he threw.
I didn't like how I watched
You're right.
him. I had one eye open. My zipper
well,
was
did
down.
You see did Bill O'Brien at one point? Off. They showed him on TV, and he had like one hand closing one eye, and he looked like he was drifting off and fading to the side. Like, it's so funny to watch these guys. And, you know, Bill's in there, and he's like turned around talking to Schiano.
I know, and they make such a big deal about it. You can't watch the drills. Really? Big deal.
Right.
I know. You know? My God.
Well, the PFWA can watch the drills.
But not really. They go in for, like, quarterbacks for, like, a half-hour session or something. It's not like they just let you go in there. Matt Smith went in.
Yeah.
Should we not say that?
Yeah, Matt Smith, he just wandered in.
Because our credential lets us.
And figured someone would stop him and no one ever stopped
him. So what? You're watching the drill. Big deal. You know,
yeah,
what?
I know. It's
funny
so
if you started yelling and heckling.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so old school. It's like they used to not, and now I think in a few years it'll be wide open.
Did they let fans in?
Yeah.
They did again, didn't they? I don't know. I actually didn't. Maybe not, because I didn't hear much about it.
For the drills? Really?
Yeah, I didn't hear much about it.
Because if they're letting fans in, why can't they?
I'm glad they don't let us in, because it just takes time away. Yeah, you can't do it.
You can't talk to the guys.
No, but if there's a guy that you're really focused on, let's just say that your team has to have a defensive tackle. Okay, I want to watch the defensive tackle drills. You know, and you're really focused on that.
And well, I mean, sometimes seeing it with your own eye is different than watching it on TV.
Absolutely. Otherwise,
I have no interest in it. I don't. I don't know enough about it. I wouldn't know one good one from a bad one.
You can kind of, fluidity and.
No, he's right. He knows nothing about football.
I'm not going to pretend that I know from defensive line drills or if one guy can play and one guy can't.
While we're fixing the combine, I have a problem.
I didn't know it was broke.
But the 40s are just ridiculous. Asinine. The unofficial time that gets everybody whooping up, and then a while later, the official time comes out that's a 10th.
Clowney went from 4.47 to a 4.53.
Wait, that's only 600s.
That was nothing.
I mean, there's plenty of guys that it's like a full 10th or more. And I think that's unfair to the viewer, and I also think it's unfair to the kid. Because he knows that, and then he finds out later, what they're going on the books with. And I don't know if it's because it's Charlie Casserly and he sucks at it, for all I know, or if it's just, the difference between the handheld and the... Just go with the computerized. Go with that. Wait longer.
Right.
Find a way to make that faster so that it can be... Something has to change, though. You can't have these discrepancies with 40 times. It's not fair to everybody involved.
It really isn't. And do they have, like, a big board where the times flash
No, they should.
They should. That would be cool.
Like the Olympics where they have the standings.
Right. That would be cool.
Yeah. That's not a terrible idea.
So... All right. I know we get a lot of people that
Did you like the guy who left because God told him to?
I heard about that.
Wait, what happened?
Yeah. The guy left because God told him to sit back, relax, and rest now, and you'll go to the Seahawks, the team that he wants to go to. San Diego
who
State running back.
Really?
Mau Mau or Moo Mau or Mau Mau Mau.
I didn't even hear the story.
Oh, yeah, he left the combine.
He left the combine.
Yeah, because God told him to.
But he talked and said that? He talked first?
So how do you draft him?
Who
What if Kraft tells him not to go? He did an interview with like the San Diego paper after he left and told NFL teams.
Okay.
And he was already like a he's an underclassman. He came out early.
Mm-hmm.
Had a good season, 1,200 yards, 15 touchdowns.
State?
Yep. And you know, was I think he got a 4th to 7th grade from the committee. Well, that certainly is going down. You know,
how do you draft the guy that he's going to do what God tells him to do?
And if you're
you
the draft Seahawks,
him, all of a sudden God tells him, don't go to that team. What
God
do you
told
do?
Me to run right. The blocking was going left.
That, Sean Gilbert.
That story reminds me of Major League, like Serrano with his like witch doll in the locker room. Like you
must
know.
Wake back.
Yeah, Jesus, exactly. Help me hit curveball.
Exactly.
Chad Jesus. Young. He good no. man.
Amu or something.
He know help me hit curveball.
Might start with an M or an A.
I know we're going to get a lot of these questions. So, is there anyone that you say the Patriots are likely to pick?
No. And I don't have any more of a feel position wise based on the
combine. Who was that corner that Jackie was all over? Not literally. Who was it?
It's from Georgia.
Oh, the one that she was asking about.
Yeah. She was
highly,
very interested in.
Well, highly regarded. The one about Tlaib you're talking about?
No. Okay. She had a guy that she was like all abuzz. Yeah, she did ask a guy, you know, who the best corners were or something, and he's never heard of
Justin Gilbert, who is one of the highest ranked. He's either
about.
The top or the second rated cornerback in most guys. So he Jackie asked about, you know, any cornerbacks that you watch in the NFL, and any guys, and he mentioned Sherman and Revis and Peterson.
Right.
And then she followed up and said, you know, do you watch much Aqib Tlaib? And he goes, who?
Ooh.
And she said, you know, Aqib Tlaib, if you watch, he goes, I'm not really familiar with him.
I told her she should send that answer to Belichick, and when they're negotiating, to let Tlaib know.
Well,
people don't even know who you are.
At least he's honest.
It was LaMarcus Joyner, the little kid who said something can play safety.
Oh,
she was on.
She was on him?
I think she might have heard a rumble.
Because I don't even think that she was at his press conference.
I don't know. She was all over
him.
That way.
He did podium A. And most of the other players did the other.
Paul goes, he did podium A.
Well, the other, because I say it because most of the other players either do B or C.
Right.
All the coaches do A. And his was
later
at A.
Later in the week, yeah.
Yeah, but there weren't a ton of press conferences at that podium, which is why it stuck out to me. And yeah, I liked him. I liked him a lot. He was an interesting guy. He had a lot of personality. Small guy.
A fire plug.
Who a lot of people think will go to safety. It's kind of the opposite of what Andy was talking about earlier in the show. He's only 5'8". But people think he could play safety. He's a big hitter, I guess. And he had a lot of personality. He was asked about, you know, the language proposal, you know, to ban the N-word from the field. And, you know, he listened to the question. And he said, listen, I'm not trying to say I'm Jesus Christ standing up here, but I don't use language like that.
Right.
And just very matter-of-fact, straightforward, and
that's another side rant for me, by the way.
We'll get
unsportsmanlike
to that.
Conduct. You already have the penalty on the books.
Right.
You're the official. If you find this unsportsmanlike, throw the freaking flag.
Right.
I don't need a new rule.
Right. Right. It's how it's used.
Right.
I also would wonder, is it that one word? Is that the one word they're trying to eradicate from the game?
Right.
Or, you know, can you, you know, anything you want to say to anybody else is
okay? I mean, it's crazy what goes down there. I mean,
you can't call penalties for that stuff.
No, you can't. All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. We'll start with Steven in Oklahoma. Hey, Steven.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I love the show. Been listening to you guys for, I think, about a year now. And I really like how, you guys are pretty much just like a group of friends talking about football.
A group? I don't know about the friends, but yeah. Okay.
Associates.
But, anyway, I wanted to ask you about a couple people, maybe pre-agency or the draft. I heard that the Cowboys were kind of in some cap trouble, and they might have a couple people we might be able to pick off the roster.
Yeah, well, that was interesting. Jerry Jones out and out said you can't rule out cutting DeMarcus Ware.
See, but the problem with Ware is I think if he gets cut, it's going to be health-related on some level. So then you're taking the risk that you'll have to pay less. It won't be the same $16 million cap number, but you're taking a physical risk, and he could be one of those guys you sign, and he plays
just never,
twice. Yeah,
right.
So there's a health issue there.
That's true. And another guy, he was out of Oklahoma. His name's Trey Millard. He was kind of hurt towards the end of the season. He had a actually serious season-ending injury. But he was only
perfect Patriot.
Really good. versatile guy, H-back type.
Is he Keith Millard? Is he related to Keith Millard?
I'm not sure about that. But
strippers will know. If he went to Oklahoma, he knows everything.
But I figured...
I don't think he was at the combine, was he?
No, they said he's projected maybe the seventh round because of his injury.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm not really familiar with him at this point.
Yeah, I'm a... I don't know. I always thought...
So was he a senior?
Really, yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
And he could always run the ball and catch it very effectively, as well as pass blocking and run blocking. Well,
okay, he's versatile and he's injured, so he's going to go low. He sounds like a Patriot.
Yes, sir.
In the third round.
Well, I thought I'd mention. But anyway, just thought I would call in.
All right, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for listening.
All right. Well, let's go to Oregon. Michael's on the phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
How much have you watched the Cooks kid play? The wide receiver.
He's pretty freaking good.
Yeah. He's also the most confident guy at the combine. I liked him. He rubbed me the right way.
Well, that's good to hear.
It moved.
He torched Oregon at the Civil War game this year, so.
Yeah, he had fantastic numbers and oozes confidence, looks the part. I know a lot of people are comparing him numbers-wise, I guess, to Deion Branch's combine, but to me, he's a far more explosive athlete than Deion Branch was, even early Deion Branch, not even I'm saying late.
Right.
He's a guy, and
he's insanely fast.
Yeah, he's insanely fast, and he talks about how he can, you know, take it 30 and go the distance or run down the field and go the distance. Either way, like, I really liked his vibe. As a smaller guy, though, he's going to have to find his niche. A lot of these guys compare themselves to Steve Smith now. That was the short wide receiver, but I'm fast, and I'm not just a slot Wes Welker guy. I'm a big play guy.
But he's also very, very strong,
right.
Steve Smith.
This guy looked pretty strong, too. He also had this thing where he did the chin. You know, Paul, he would just, like, answer a question and stick his chin out, like, you better believe it kind of thing. And I liked him. All right, sorry, go ahead.
I think what's cool about him is that he came out this year with, like, he was a nobody. No one knew his name or anything like that, and now he's one of the top wide receivers in the draft.
Yeah, because he's got the speed, he's got the numbers. He's an impressive package.
And Oregon's this place that they spread it around. So
State.
Oregon State. Okay, never
mind. Yeah, he's the rival.
He's a beaver, not a duck.
Okay.
Yeah. But I called in because my question is, I don't think any Patriot fan wants to lose Wilforth, but if it does happen, would you be comfortable with drafting Lewis Nix, out of Notre Dame, who some people have said is like Vince Wilforth's clone?
I wouldn't be personally. I don't want to draft a defensive tackle.
Well, that's kind of the thing. It's not really the player I'd be.
Yeah.
It's the investment. Are we going back down that road? And yeah. I know you don't have to pay him the same amount of money, but you're investing a first-round pick that we've talked about. You know, the whole build from the outside and edge playmakers, cover guys, playmakers on offense, he doesn't really change anything in that mix for you.
But would he even be there at 29?
Could be.
You think?
I've heard he could be, but
could be.
And then a lot of people say that Hagman guy, but I don't see him being a first round pick, especially for the Patriots.
I don't see the fit personally. I just don't really know.
I'll tell you, the one out of those guys that I liked in listening to, and again, this is not performance related because we're just talking about interviews, but Aaron Donald from Pitt, he's a different kind of player.
Opposite end of the spectrum.
He's a smaller player. He's a lot of comparisons to Geno Atkins.
But didn't he run a very fast
40? Yeah. He's an athletic,
short,
interior
fast,
defensive
undersized.
Lineman.
I mean, he's only 280 change, something like
he's
that.
He's a small guy like Geno Atkins was coming out. You know, and I read some quotes from Bill saying that, you know, obviously if we had known about Geno Atkins, he would have probably been taken first overall.
Right.
He's that kind of player. So maybe a guy like that, you know, Johnny Manziel talks a lot about.
It's a little bit of the Richard Sherman thing there, though. Now, every time you're a short, you know, speedy defensive lineman, wow, we should have learned. We learned from Geno Atkins. Well, you know how that does?
Well,
that means you bust five guys in the first round because you think they're going to be Geno Atkins.
Yeah, but it also depends a little bit on what the guy did in college. I mean, this guy had a very productive career, probably a better career than Geno Atkins did at Pitt than Geno Atkins did at Georgia. So it's not like he couldn't play at that size.
No, but a lot of guys,
agree with you,
you know what I mean? Like, you get in this mindset of, well, this is can overcome it, and then five straight guys that you take in the first round are not that guy.
Right.
You still have to make sure he's the right guy, not just that the mold. And I know Dimitrov talked a lot about the whole scouting process, and you need veteran scouts because there are plenty of talent evaluators who know talent, but they need the experience to compare to other guys in other years and blah. And that's why he's so excited about Pioli and whoever else they brought in, some other veteran
Devaney.
Guy. Yeah, Bill Devaney. And I think there's some of that, but I think that can be bad sometimes. You can't just assume the guy, all right, he has the same X, Y, and Z, so he's the next Geno Atkins. Well, maybe. I mean, you got to make still have to make sure your talent evaluation is correct.
All right, well, I just want to congratulate Fred on holding down the fort without anyone last week.
Thanks, how was Mike. It? Wait. How was it, Mike?
It was pretty good. I mean, I was entertained.
How did he keep you entertained? How burping,
you
farting?
How did you entertain by yourself?
I don't know. I just be myself. That's
Fred's an entertaining kind of guy. I don't know.
Were you laughing with him or at him?
I had my R lads out. You know, we were you know, naming names, dropping some knowledge.
Have they added Kelvin Benjamin to their list of receivers yet?
No. All right, guys, well, I got to get to class. So it's nice talk.
All right, study hard.
You're pulling the plug on us. Yeah. I see. Okay.
We'll go down to North Carolina. Eldridge is on the phone. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, folks, how y'all doing?
Eldridge, good. I got your guy. Martavis Bryant, Clemson. 6'4", 4'3", 40". Outside receiver, questionable production. Who knows what he's going to be in the pros? He's your guy.
No. Either Sammy Watkins or Travis Benjamin. I'm a Florida State guy. I'll follow Travis Benjamin.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah. You can forget about.
And Watkins,
Sammy
you got no
Watkins.
Chance of. He's going to be like a top five pick. A lot of people think Watkins should be the best player, like, is the best player in the draft. Is
really?
The surefire production. Now, I think that's dangerous with the receiver, and I don't buy it because he's not Calvin Johnson. He's not that perfect. He's not that good.
He's good.
He's good. Watkins. He's very good.
Watkins, I know he ain't going to be there. But I think Benjamin is played, what, second round or third?
Oh, Benjamin could be a late first, second round pick. You know, this will change a lot, obviously, but big guy, ran a decent 40, I think a 4.52, 4.56, somewhere in there. Very productive, touchdown size. And it's what we talked about the other day. Maybe he's a better fit for Brady because he's not the speed burner go routes down the field because people think Brady can't throw a deep ball anymore and you want the big red zone target.
But, you know, in today's NFL, isn't it more not just flat out speed, but can you get open?
Oh, yeah.
You know, how do you battle off the line?
Or if you can't get open, can you make plays on the ball?
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Aaron Dobson or Anquan Boldin sometimes. Doesn't have a lot of room, but he's going to come down with the ball more often than not.
Anquan Boldin hasn't gotten open since he was in Arizona, but he makes a lot of catches.
Posting his
shot. Here's my draft order. So, Andy, don't you laugh. I'm going to get ready to laugh, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Number one, I'm going left to Denard. Two, Benjamin or Mike Smith or wide receiver. And three is going to be a safe out of Louisville.
Okay. These are three choices for possible first-round pick or, like, by the rounds?
By the rounds.
Yeah, okay. I don't think Kelvin Benjamin's going to be available in the bottom of the second round.
Well,
I like your Louisville safety. I talked to him. He's a hard hitter. I liked him.
Yeah, I remember talking about him, Andy.
Yeah, I watched him too.
He's the guy that...
Yeah, and I like Denard. I like that pick, Eldridge. I'd take him if he's available at the end of the first round.
I just want to see Fred, Denard, and Dennett.
Even if we keep Tlaib. I
agree. I think they need help in the second. They need help on defense. To me, that's the bigger help. Bigger need.
You know. But other than that, that's about it. You get a tight end and a tackle and a guard out of free agency. And maybe get some linemen. So just some spot gap right then. But I'll go after those three right there if I could.
I like it, Eldridge. I like it.
All right, Eldridge.
I like it too.
Thank you.
Wide receiver that I like. And I don't remember if you even talked to him, Andy. Is Allen Robinson? Did you get to talk to him from Penn State? He didn't.
Came in the next day, maybe even the third day.
First of all, he was a very, very good college player. And I don't mean very, very good in terms of drafting. I mean very, very good in terms of
he's
talent.
Actually good?
I'm intrigued by the fact that he played 2 years for O'Brien, so he has at least some knowledge of the offense. And he is a good combination of the kind of guy that Andy's talking about. He gets open, and he makes plays in the ball. So I would be interested in a guy like that. Second round, maybe?
Okay. Let's go to Marcus in Miami.
Be available,
hey, Marcus.
Though.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good, good, good. Glad to see everybody's back and safe at home. I had a couple questions. What do you guys think that we're going to target in the first two rounds? Do you think we're either going to trade out? I mean, we have a 29th pick. I mean, do you think we either sit there and grab somebody? I don't see Bill, you know.
Well, I'm a little. The depth is a concern because there are people, literally already unnamed executives, saying, you know, if you trade up in this draft, You're trading away a starter. That fourth or fifth round you add into that trade is a starter.
But I talk about
if Bill sees that, all of a sudden he wants seven sevens.
No, but one of the points that I tried to make on Thursday was the depth.
Who argued you?
People say, I had people say, you know, oh, there's a lot of depth. That means the Patriots are going to move down. But the depth could also allow the Patriots to move up because there's more partners. There's other teams that would be willing to move down.
But does Bill have a tendency to give away depth for one player?
Well, Bill has moved up 17 times since 2000. But
how many of those matter? Don't give me those stupid trades with the Eagles where they just wanted to swap picks in the seventh round to keep a streak going.
One of the things that Bill has talked about when, you know, asked about trading up down, he says, like, you know, a lot of times you want to move up, but you just can't find anybody to do it with. You know, it's not like we don't want to. It's just that you can't always find a partner. I think in
Jets
draft,
always find a partner when they want
like
one.
Danny Ainge. You know, I wanted to make a move at the trading deadline. I couldn't find. Well, yeah, because you wanted to rape someone and no one wanted to get raped.
But in this draft, there's probably more partners both ways.
Does anyone ever want to get raped?
Exactly.
Because of the depth. All right, you guys are just going to laugh and, you know, not take it seriously, but it's true.
Yeah,
To say that he wanted to move up but couldn't find a partner, to me, is... Well,
you don't think that's ever happened?
I think that happens to every team every year.
But you can't give him the excuse every time.
That's not an
excuse. I had to trade down. Right. No, he likes value. He thinks there's a better chance if I take these three players, one of them is going to hit, than if I take that one player. He's clearly made that clear.
If there's a guy that's they clearly think is better and it's their pick, they'll pick it. But if there's not, if there's a group of players and they can still get somebody from that group moving down five spots, they'll do that.
Just like they always tell us that's what they did.
Right.
Right.
Why would they?
And that's why we have 17 second round picks who can't play.
But then you get to the issue of do they make the right choice? That's a whole
different
argument.
I don't think it's a lie. I'm not saying that they're lying about it. I'm saying every team would like to move up if the price is right. More often than not, they don't find the price right. That tells me that they don't really want to move up.
No. They want to move up for the right price.
They've moved up three times in the first round, right?
I want a Ferrari, but I got about 32 grand.
This is like the Welker argument.
They've moved up three times.
They wanted Welker for the
first,
right price, which means they didn't really want Welker.
Exactly.
They wanted John Abraham.
Great analogy.
For the right price.
If they want the guy,
instead he has 12 sacks in Arizona. Because he got, $2 million.
Mm-hmm. 12 and 4. What else, Marcus?
Could have been 16 and 0.
But I know we do most of our shopping in the second and third round, or second, third, fourth round anyway. That's why I was kind of putting that, like, you know, if we trade out, I mean, I think he trades out. I mean, honestly, if there's so much depth, like everyone's been saying, Mayock says the deepest draft we've seen in 10 years, and whoever else said that, you know, it's the deepest draft in 30 years or whatever. I see us trading out and, you know, accumulating more picks. I have one question, though.
I'm going on record right now. He does not trade out. He either stays put or trades up.
I'm with you.
Right,
Ed Berliner action right here.
Remember we got that Oakland pick a couple years ago, and it was so funny where they had been stinky and garbage for like 2-3 years in a row, and that was looking like it was a guaranteed top 10 pick, and they all of a sudden went 8-8, and it was a top 16.
Yeah, Tom Cable screwed us.
Yeah, he screwed us big time. I was looking at that every year, every game that year, I was hoping they'd lose. And
what's the difference? They would have ended up picking 17th anyway. If it was a ninth pick, they would have traded down.
Because they had Solder slotted at 17.
Right. They wouldn't take him higher than that.
Right. I agree with you, Fred, though. Everyone thinks, oh, it's a deep draft. He's going to trade down.
Right.
Yeah. We'll say that every year.
Good luck with that. He'll trade down. We got to add. Thanks. Got to add two more Ron Braces and Josh Beckett's to the middle. Jake.
Yeah.
No Soxes in the house. I don't know.
You have any combine thoughts?
Got anything to say?
No? Yeah, you were there. You have observations from the first 2 days.
No offense-minded combine thoughts.
How was
you were there for the offensive guys?
Elmo, up, down. Yeah.
Wow. Can't cut your tongue.
Thumbs up.
All right, let's get to some email, shall we? James writes in. He says,
where's the food?
One upside for participating in Radio Row at the Combine would be to extend PFW's audience to listeners from other teams. Twitter would allow you to promote interviews with people of interest to everyone following the NFL. Plus, the forum would allow season recap previews with the press from around the country and coaching staff from other teams. Teams scheduled for a game, home or away, with the Patriots in the upcoming season would be a particularly good interview target. And then he has a bunch of things, what trends, a lot of different things that you could talk about. It seems like something that your team could really do well, plus some materials could be stockpiled for future shows during the doldrums. That's James from Calgary. He's a Patriots Daily subscriber.
Oh, nice. We could get Florio on, too. Huh. Ding, ding.
Oh. There was couple of opportunities. Andy was going to go.
I was
going
to introduce myself to him.
Florio.
I chose not.
Were you?
To. Yeah, I was thinking of it. Yeah. You know, no, you're Sox. The one you called my boss. You poo nanny.
No Sox and I met the play-by-play guy for Houston, who actually works for the Texans.
Met him or?
Is that John McClain?
Wash the balls. And,
no, Mark Vandermeer.
Give me a reach around.
Well, I don't even know what he's talking
that's
about.
That's not what happened.
Oh, sorry.
I don't even know what you're talking about. Good guy.
Yeah?
Good guy. Yeah, I just said that. Were you not listening to me?
He was coughing up a lung at that time. He nearly died.
Ben writes in. He says, I love the crap out of you guys. Avid podcast listener from the Shall Not Be Named days and Patriots Football Daily subscriber. Two in a row.
That's two.
Those are the three.
Without all four of you guys, the show suffers, especially when Fred the Glue Kirsch is gone.
What about when Fred the Glue Kirsch is alone?
I hold it down.
Yeah.
Something you couldn't do. You would
easily.
You would fizzle. Easily.
Easily.
You would fizzle.
Anytime, buddy.
By 1:30.
Anytime you want to have a show off. Anytime you want to have a show off. You do one solo show, I'll do one solo show.
Okay.
We'll check the ratings.
A lot of ego on that show.
Oh, yeah.
This may be a little early, but I found one bone to pick about PFW draft coverage. I don't get to listen live very often, but I feel like the PFW draft show is the most suited for listening live because of the drama of the draft built into it. I respect and enjoy all the PFW guys' opinions, arguments, stories, and whatnot, but can you please stop the madness of announcing tweets as facts of the draft picks before the actual Goodell announcement? Please pick one or the other. If Eric Blood Orange is going to tell us who the pick is, then don't air the Goodell announcement. It's redundant. I personally like the Goodell announcement because it's official. I love the pre-pick analysis, guesses, opinions of the PFW boys, even Eric, but I think you should hold off on saying the pick as fact from a tweet. The draft shows are some of the best all year, but this tweet thing really bothers me. He's not the only person to say that, you know? So as a live show, maybe we should do that. You know, one or the other.
I don't care. It doesn't really bother me that much.
But it bothers the listeners, so we
but
should
not
listen.
A lot of them.
We should listen to the listeners.
Not a lot of them.
No?
We had just as many people that told
listen
us
to
that, that they want the as much information as we have they want.
Okay. All right.
That was a heated debate last year.
It was.
It was.
We
was.
got into it for a couple hours.
Yeah, we also got into the let's make a deal three door thing.
Yeah, we weren't even paying attention to who was being picked. We were just arguing whether we should announce it or not.
Did you see Shane Vereen's brother, nice 4.47, also benched well?
Oh, yeah?
Why are you shaking your head? Don't shake your head at me.
No Sox is leaving the building.
He got tired of waiting for us, evidently.
What did he want?
I don't know.
What he wanted. He,
I don't know.
He's just shaking. He hasn't been feeling well.
No? He really gutted it out.
He nearly died.
Well, yeah, he sounds sick. And Andy, you sound like you might have something. No?
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
I might have gotten it from him. This guy, I mean, he must have gone through 6,000 Kleenexes, blowing the nose everywhere, hacking. He sounded like Bill Belichick at the podium for
the best part about having No Sox with us, though, is... you know, they have a manager's reception every night at the hotel.
He didn't miss a one. Yeah.
Happy hour, basically. 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah.
So we get back, and Matt goes, hey, anyone interested in having a few cocktails before we go out?
Damnedest thing. Every beer he got had a hole in the bottom. He needed a new one instantly.
Wow. Adrian writes in, first time emailing, but I've been listening for the past 4 years. I love your podcast. I don't know how I would go through the offseason without you guys. But I have a question. From what Andy and Paul saw at the Combine, who do you think is the most likely to be drafted by the Patriots?
Jesus.
The trend I see from the past few drafts is that we draft developmental players instead of proven college players. So essentially, my question is, who looked raw and likely to go in round 7? Those are the guys we will likely pick up in rounds 2 and 3. Also, do you see the Patriots trading down in this deep draft to get more players in order to avoid spending in free agency since we don't have too much cap space?
Yes.
You do.
I think there's a solid chance they could trade down. If all these people really believe that you're going to get a starter in the 3rd round, 4th round, 5th round, Bill can't turn that down. He just can't. And he doesn't have the pressure of other GMs. Oh, you got to get these guys, you got to get that guys. Because as much as we think there's pressure and the window's closing, I don't think he buys it. Dimitroff, no.
No?
Oh, Elway had a good quote, by the way, that I meant to link to the Patriots because people are asking him about the must-win-now window. Peyton Manning has 1 year, 2 years left. And he said, I don't want to win now. Boy, I really need to remember the rest of the quote.
Thanks for that, Andy. When you think
the bottom line, to
I want to win years from now.
He doesn't just want to win now,
right?
He's not loading up for Peyton.
You could argue he has more pressure than I mean, A. They haven't won together,
right?
And B, you know, people thought Manning might quit this year, so he could quit a year or two before Brady,
right?
And he is saying that he doesn't want to build it for win now and then see what happens. He wants to win years from now,
right?
And so I don't think Bill has that much pressure. So I think if Bill sees developmental starters and I can get five of them in this, you know, third, fourth, and fifth round, I'm taking those, and then maybe I won't suck after I and Brady leave.
Yeah, and it would be a difference, you know, in talent if you have if he really thinks there's that much talent. Because I would caution, you don't want to stockpile too many draft picks. I wouldn't think, because they're getting really young now. I mean, like, they had what, 14 last year, right? Now I know that they're not all going to be back. But 14 at the start of last season, they had 7 draft picks and 7 undrafted guys, I think.
Yeah, they went through some.
And then obviously it fluctuates during the course of the season. But they are one of the younger teams now.
Plus, they need playmakers.
They need play.
You know where playmakers go? Good players go in the middle of the draft. Playmakers go near the top.
Yep.
Because people fall in love with playmakers. If you want playmakers, you take them early. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes a while. You might have to wait a year like Robert Quinn. But sooner or later, that you're going to get your playmaker. The playmakers go near the top.
More likely, you'll get a hit if you go higher.
Hey, playmakers wanted, playmakers near the top.
It's very simple, too. Even if the draft is really deep, the better players will go earlier.
Stinky Mike in Smelly Florida writes in, want to challenge Fathead in the Hall of Famer and Pat Eric with a K on the back. Andy, please back up your often stated everything Bill does is about value statement. I don't see it. He continually overdrafts players when compared to the respected opinions and often correct evaluations of several draft analysts. He all too often pays mediocre players outstanding contracts, yet tries to penny pinch top tier players that can help. Where do you see value in this?
First of all, he doesn't pay mediocre players outstanding contracts. He overpays them, but he doesn't pay them ridiculous contracts. They're overpaid.
Okay.
But he doesn't go for the big price item. He's the person that'll buy 3 things at Walmart, even though all 3 of them break and you got to buy 2 more in a month. But he believes that he's going to be better off in the long run having the 3. There's no doubt in my mind, whether you look at coaches, whether you look, you know, the fact that they bring in Dables and these guys that are paid by other teams, there is no doubt in my mind that he's looking for a deal on everything he does.
And Paul, please take the time this offseason to prove your statement that Bill is a very, very good drafter. As Fred has often says,
that one really resonated.
As Fred has often said,
really, one extra very and it stays around forever.
As Fred has often said, it is hard for us to tell because we don't know how other teams' drafts turned out. My biggest question is second and third rounders. It sure seems that we miss more than the average.
Certainly lately that has been the case.
Though there are so many variables in grading other teams' picks, injury, system, depth, etc., and Fred will always point to Gronk, I'll point to Tavon Wilson, Ron Brace, Butler, Cunningham, Price, Dowling, Chung, Butler, Tate, McKenzie.
Wow, it's
and
really
say this
list.
Is not.
Oh yeah, that's why I said lately. There's no argument lately that it's been bad in the.
And
in the
say that this is not very, very good.
Yeah, he did a great job earlier.
Oh, now it's great.
In finding that's better than very, very good.
So 2 verys. This isn't like playing cards where you can.
It's
beat
not like one knee verys. Two feet.
To me, the gap. And listen, obviously, you know, do I overstate things a little bit? Yeah, probably. You know, maybe I would have a better choice of words, but we've gotten a lot of mileage out of that. So
it's good radio.
We'll stick with the very, very good. I think where Bill has sort of struggled is I thought early on with the Patriots, he did a really good job of occasionally finding a guy in the fourth round who could start, in the fifth round who could start.
Dan Copen.
They haven't really had many of those guys. Julian Edelman's probably the last. You know, beyond the third round guy that plays.
Well,
and let's face it, that
yeah, that's a different circumstance. Yeah,
no,
though.
But he counts. He does count.
A little different.
But Dennard he's right counts. In that there's not a lot of comps. Yes, you can compare him to Ozzie Newsome. You can compare him to Kevin Colbert. You can compare him to, I don't know, a couple other people. But most teams haven't had the same GM for 14 years. So there's this huge window of, you know, 14, and because he trades down, you know, 28 second-round picks. Because, you know, you might be comparing some other guy who's been on 4 drafts and he only has made 5 second-round
picks.
Fair enough. If you hit 2 of them, you look like you're a much better drafter. But talk to me in 14 years when you've had to go through 14 landmines.
Finally, congrats to Eric for sticking to his guns and blasting the Tavon Wilson pick and not backing down to Fred's apologist homerism.
Wow.
Oh, speaking of Eric.
Did I defend Tavon Wilson?
Yeah, you defend everything that
they usually, on the weekend of the draft.
Usually the day after. Usually
the
day
after.
The day after we pick him.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That day you ripped him. Sure.
Yeah,
that.
And then you called somebody and, right. You know, he had played football since middle school and you loved him.
That was Terrence Wheatley.
Oh, sorry. While we're speaking of picks that Eric reacts strongly to, one of his favorite picks of all time was at the Combine doing media.
Kevin O'Connell?
Yes.
College football analyst, also working with Johnny Manziel. Right?
I don't know. He sort of just seemed like he was sitting in the corner waiting for people to talk
to him.
He's
teaching Manziel how to throw those screen passes directly into the ground.
Matt in San Diego State University simply says,
speaking of San Diego State,
for the love of all that is good and holy, please draft Paul Richardson.
Who's Paul Dick?
See, nobody was thinking that.
But I'm pretty sure that's where the running back's from, too, San Diego State.
Yeah, it's Adam Muen.
Muen.
Something like that, Muen.
Cool. Cows.
Stripper sent it to me. Sent me the link this
story. Did he tell about Keith Millard's son?
I didn't see that.
Strippers. There's also an email in here who wants to know, who's the strippers we always ask questions to? Why does he know
that
so much?
On Thursday.
Oh, okay. He's not overly intelligent. No offense, strippers. He just really knows how to Google very well.
Nick in Golden, Victoria, Canada. First, on behalf of all Patriots fans in Victoria, B.C., I'd just like to apologize for Jamie Benn. I think he forgot it was America's time to win gold. Who's Jamie Benn? Anyone? No? Somebody
scored
that won gold?
Jamie Benn scored the game-winning goal for Canada.
He scored the only goal in the U.S.
game. Right. Plays for the Stars.
Secondly, do you think Sidney Rice would be a good fit in New England, or do you think his price is going to be too high for the few deep balls he could stretch the field for?
I do think he'd be a good fit, and I don't think his price is going to be all that high. I think he's coming off a couple of injury
seasons. Well, I was just going to say, I think he's got some injury issues, right?
But
I would still take him.
I would definitely take him, which means there's no chance.
Dan writes in, and he's got a fairly lengthy email, and basically I would title it 2020 Hindsight Drafting. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. I've been listening since 07, and for the most part, whenever I have a bone to pick with one of you, another emailer or caller covers it, so I haven't written in. However, as Paul continues to support his belief that Belichick is a very, very good drafter, I would like to show you what that looks like, because it's not what Belichick has done over the last 4 years. Also, Fred, you can sniff all you like, but the reality is if Belichick had been able to identify the correct picks a couple more times in the last 10 years, he would have had better chances to win a couple more titles.
Preach it.
They have been close enough as it is. Just imagine having a 10 to 15% better team across the board. Mm. That's one pick better each year. I think that could have made the difference. Anyway, Paul, here is what a very, very good drafter would have drafted since 2010. For the most part, and he has a whole list. In 2011, we trade the Mallett and Solder picks to St. Louis and get Robert Quinn.
That's absurd.
Yeah. I thought he was going to list like actual players
that were taking two picks later.
Listen, I'm all for as I just said, you know, he hasn't drafted very, very well the last 5 years. Okay, I'm all for sitting here and taking my medicine for that. But you can't give me a package deal of trade ups to get a guy who's turned out to be the best player in that draft, or one of the best players
in
that
draft.
Well,
he also has now.
I mean, we all wanted Robert Quinn at the time, especially Andy.
In just a straight draft, in 2010, he would have taken Dez Bryant instead of McCourty.
I would have taken Dez Bryant, too, but everybody else didn't want to.
Then you take Gronk.
I still don't want
Then you take Carlos Dunlap instead of Jermaine Cunningham.
That was an obvious one.
Navarro Bowman instead of Spikes. Geno Atkins instead of Hernandez. You know,
that stuff isn't fair.
It's all 2020,
yeah.
You know?
I can go and if you wanted to tell me Dennis Pitta instead of Aaron Hernandez, I mean, because clearly they were looking to take a move, quote-unquote, tight end, and they took one with too many red flags, okay. But you can't just say, oh, this guy's really good. They should have taken him instead of Aaron Hernandez.
Like, you know, in 2011, Richard Sherman instead of Marcus Cannon.
Yeah, that's absurd again.
I would take Sherman over Cannon, yep.
Solid pick. Dave, I understand what you're saying, but do that with every team, please.
And you're right. I would rather have all of the players that you mentioned
than the
ones that they drafted.
And if they had done that, they probably would have won at least another title. But do that with every team. It's really hard. It's no team gets it right like
the Dunlap
more than 51% of the time.
The Dunlap Cunningham one is that's a good one.
Well, it's one because everybody criticized at the time.
Everybody criticized Urban Meyer. And Urban Meyer was so adamant about it.
Right. Let's see. Pat and Agawam, good afternoon. Had a question about Aqib Talib's market. Since Hall signed a 4-year deal with Washington for $17 million with a $3 million signing bonus, I was trying to figure out what it would take to get Talib done on a long-term deal. I figured 4 years between $22, $25 million with a bonus of $12 million. Do you think this sounds about right and or fair?
I think it's low.
Due to his failure to stay in the field the past 2 years, I don't see him getting Revis money. What are your thoughts? Also, did you see the report on NFL.com that Jerry Jones said cutting Ware may be a possibility? How would you like to see that guy in a Patriots uniform, or do you think he'll command too much money when and if that happens? We talked about the Ware thing, but, you know, Talib. I know he was out there. There were rumors that he was talking about.
Yeah, I don't know if he was actually there either.
Well, that was the report.
Yeah, but the report was meet with Talib. When people say that, I think they mean the agents to talk about the contract.
Oh, okay.
I don't necessarily know that the intention of that report was to say Talib was in Indianapolis.
Unless they're that close to maybe making a deal.
Right.
But I think Andy's right. I think
or
usually,
he's freaking out like the last guy.
The impression I got was that he was there. But I think usually when they say that, that's what they mean.
Fred, that's the impression I got, too.
That is it, but I don't necessarily know that that was meant to be.
I don't know what it was meant to be, but...
Media, check.
In your little thing, words have meaning.
Sure.
I think the guy said he would, 4 years, $20 million or something?
22 to 25 with a $12 million bonus.
Yeah, so you're at like $5 to $6 million. Well, Revis makes 16, so there's a big difference. You're not going to give him Revis money.
Right.
I think he's looking at the $8 million range, $7, $8, $9 million, somewhere in there, depending on how the numbers curl out. And I don't think D'Angelo Hall can hold his jock now. And he hasn't been good or the same D'Angelo Hall that he was early in his career for a long, long time. So maybe that lowers the market a sniff, but I don't think it does. I think Talib says, yeah, some crappy guy who's not half the player I am got that.
Right.
So I get double that or triple that, whatever. I still think it's going to come in the $8 million range.
All right. Food's here. We're going to take a break. It's 104. And Ace Ticket Hotline, we got people lined up there. We got emails coming in. A lot of draft and combine talk. The draft is May 8th. We got a long time.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. so I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We all know PFW in Progress attracts, well, an eclectic audience.
And I think it's different. Like, when I was at school, like, bullying for me, it was, you see these things called death runs. So my dormitories were like 40 people in a dormitory, and they basically used to line up with, like, clay pipes and hockey sticks and rugby boots. You didn't have to run down the middle and stuff like that.
Okay, go on.
There was one guy, I remember his name, Ollie Anlaw, who stood up and tried to sort of stand up to the bully. And they locked him in, like, a footlocker and threw him out the third floor window. So, we sort of stopped trying to stand up to people.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, but there was like a hedge below. But, you know, my school was like...
Oh, he was fine. There was a hedge below.
And embracing cultural diversity.
My school was like... I always say it was a lot like Harry Potter, but instead of magic, we had anal rape.
Think you can be the next great caller in the PFW in Progress family? Give it a shot by dialing 855-PATS-500. Just try to have something intelligent to bring to the table.
Okay, back here at PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, web radio at patriots.com. Sam in Chicago writes in, I was listening to the local Chicago sports radio regarding the upcoming draft and what the Bears could or would do. One of the radio hosts said that the Bears need to step up their drafting expertise and model their strategy after the Steelers and, yes, the Patriots. The point he made regarding the Patriots is that the team has a system that can plug in a versatile player and make it work. First-round draft picks, he said, were a 50-50 shot regarding the promised talent and impact the player will make for the team. He actually applauded Bill for moving down and getting what has become a swear word with us Pats fans, the word value. It gave me a fresh perspective living in Chicago and hearing analysts talk about their home team and the outsider's view of our fearless, valued leader, Bill. Yeah, you guys, sometimes you have to step away to get a fresh perspective, you know.
Doesn't necessarily mean it's the right perspective.
Strippers is saying that there is a big corner. Keith McGill out of Utah, 6'3", 211, ran a 4'4". So there's one big corner that ran pretty well. Let's go to the phones. Jason's in Georgia. He wants to talk about Bill Belichick trading up. Hey, Jason.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, I was thinking, where is – What are the Patriots draft picks this year?
Low in each round. Yeah.
They have a first, a second. I'm not sure if they have a fifth.
They have everything but a fifth.
Right.
They have two sixes and
correct.
A seven right now.
Yes.
And they'll probably get some added in compensation picks as well. Late,
but
late
nothing
picks.
Of any note, yeah.
Maybe a sixth and a seventh or a 2-6 or something like that.
All right, because I think the Patriots' real needs are a safety and a tight end. Like, I don't think they really need a D-line as much. They do. Wilfork is coming off an injury, but when Wilfork was paired with Kelly, they did get pushes, even though he had that injury coming up leading during the fourth game of the season last year. And Armin Armstead, I checked some of his tapes when he was in the CFL, and he played really well. I could see why Bill Belichick mentioned him at the
yeah, he did.
End
I
of
mean,
the year.
But you know, you got to take the competition. And what was he? Defensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah,
his first year, or his only year in the CFL.
Yeah, he was an All Star or
yeah,
whatever they have,
something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, different game, and a lot
which
of people have talked about that.
Yeah,
he can play at least average or above average in the NFL.
Maybe.
We don't know.
I haven't seen him.
Look,
until I see him put a jersey on and play in like a competitive environment for the Patriots.
I'm not even factoring him in. I'm not even considering him part of the depth. You know, I can't.
They can more than we can, one way or the other. They can have a better feeling.
And it was interesting that he mentioned him by name, which is very rare for a guy that's never stepped on the field.
But he mentioned him, lamenting him for last year,
right.
Not so much looking
but
ahead to this
then,
year.
That's rare, right?
You know, that is rare, but yeah. I'm saying I'd feel better if he said, and you know, next year we'll get our guys, Wilfork and Armstead, back. I don't know what they know about Armstead.
But it shows that they had hopes for him.
Yeah, so did I. I've given up those hopes because I don't know if they may have amputated his leg.
I know, but
he may be
a
one-legged man now. He may work at IHOP.
But I agree with Fred, and I will.
That's so not right.
I'll be more interested to see if he talks like that about Armstead as we get into next season.
Yeah.
I think the timing of it.
You could release him tomorrow and say, I'm sorry, it just never worked out.
The timing of it reeks of just think of how much better we would have been if we even had – let's throw another guy into it. I want to see what he thinks of – what he's saying about him individually heading into next season.
Or if we actually see him.
Well, I was thinking about this highly optimistic plan of going to the Rams, trading our first-round pick, Ryan Mallett, our third-round pick, a fifth-round pick, and – one of our sixth-round picks.
First, third, fifth, and sixth.
And Mallett
for?
Their second.
Yeah, no chance.
Yeah, no.
And taking who? Clowney?
First of all, Jeff Fisher just gave us the very much stamp
of approval
to Sam Bradford. It's why I took
thanks,
the job. He's
thanks,
our
Jason.
Starter. We believe in him. He was playing well until the freak injury. Blah, blah, blah. He gave a stamp of approval. Now, it could be BS. I don't know. Should be nothing. But I don't think they want Ryan Mallett, and I don't think they want a bunch of mid-round picks. I think they want to pick elite talent.
Yeah, you can add in those, you know, a three, a five, and a six and make it seem like you're giving an awful lot, but you're really not. You're really not giving an awful lot.
And I don't think Mallett's much.
Oh, God.
So you're giving nothing.
And I don't
you're
mean
trying
that,
to swap 29 for two, essentially.
And I don't mean that disrespectfully to Ryan Mallett. The kid has done nothing wrong. He hasn't had a chance to play. Okay, we can all sit there and say what we think of him in practice. And I think we're all in agreement. We haven't been, all four of us, haven't been thoroughly impressed with him in practice. But it's not
but
his
that
fault.
Is something wrong.
He's never had a chance to go out and play.
No, but he's had the chance to practice, and he has not shined in those practices.
No, but other teams.
That's an opportunity to prove himself to us.
But to us, but other teams.
No, but for you
don't
said
see him
this
every
is
day
not
in
meant
practice.
To be a disrespect to Ryan.
Yeah, and I don't mean
see,
it that way.
I think he's had an opportunity for 3 years to go on the practice field and the preseason field to show us something. And he hasn't.
He showed me improvement, but he started at a real low level.
I think he showed you improvement because you had Tebow taking the next rep.
Yeah, well, I think that's why he looked better this year.
I do too. I seriously do. You put the worst ever behind him, and that makes him look better.
It didn't hurt him, that's for sure.
But my point is that
how come God didn't tell Tebow to stop playing? Give up,
dude.
He's got a deep voice,
dude. Not going to happen. Dude,
seriously,
not happening.
I also didn't even understand it. They said this guy Mono or Moni or he communicates with God through
Moina.
Numbers, and it just said that in the story. Like, what does that mean? Phone number or like, ooh, a seven?
Oh, there are
leave
no,
the combo.
There are
he got a text.
Numerologists out there that
that's what I was
there's
thinking.
There's a whole science, well, not science, but a belief system behind numbers. numerology.
So like
if they show up or
so he showed up at the combine and he was in a certain room and he's like, whoa.
Possibly.
Oh, snap. Got to go back.
Possibly.
Seahawks will
yeah.
take
yeah.
me. Yeah, that's sane.
But my point with Mallett was more along
I have
the
no problem
of,
having faith in God, but, I mean, a little much to think because you saw your hotel room number, you should leave the combine or something.
That's true.
But don't you think, you know, setting the price for the Rams pick, they would want your first, if at 29, they would want your first round this year, your first round next year,
yeah, that's
where second rounder this year.
But that's where you start.
Right. Yeah.
You got to start with two firsts
right.
now, to go up that
it's
high.
It's not stupid to say a team would want to trade down in a draft that is loaded.
Right.
That is not flawed. But, yeah, you start with something like that and fill in the details. Yeah. You don't start with Ryan Mallett in a third.
Well, just as a point of comparison, I think the Rams have that pick in the first place because Washington traded, what, four spots, three spots?
Yeah.
For two first-round picks
right.
to get up to get RG3 last year.
A little different, though, because of the quarterback thing. There were sort of two quarterbacks, and if you wanted one of the two, you had to be. I'm not sure this year is quite as slotted where you can have the value.
But the Rams might look at it that way with the quarterbacks. There's three quarterbacks that a lot of people think are going to go possibly in the top five, top
right,
six.
But,
so the Rams look at the number two pick, not for the Patriots,
but the
but
buyers
the Rams.
Need to look at it. They need to look.
But
you
if you're
had
the Rams,
Washington
I'm not taking the Patriots.
And Cleveland offering essentially anything they could get to go up to get that number two pick. I don't think you'll have that this year.
How many quarterbacks will go in the first round?
Four. I think four.
That helps the Patriots. Anytime
I know, you tell me that every year.
What if they take one?
Well, then
that hurts the Patriots.
That could help them. I mean, James Gandolfini
is
scheduled to go in the first round.
It's not scheduled. Don't say it like that.
Well, no,
it's not.
Bill Polian thinks he could go in the first
round.
What?
Bill Polian thinks he
could. Oh, now you're aligned with Bill Polian?
Well, he's pretty good. We've never made fun of Bill Polian about his personality.
You've made fun of him for everything.
Yeah, but never
and deservedly so in a lot
of
cases, by the way.
What?
And deservedly so. You you have not been out of line to make fun of him because he's been disrespectful to the Patriots in the past.
But he knows football players.
Right.
Yeah.
Same guy who had Curtis Painter as his backup. Either he's a clown or he's not a clown.
He did it in Buffalo for a long time, too. Yeah.
Well, I think he's a very good mind.
All the more,
I think it's disingenuous for this guy to suddenly align himself with Bill Polian.
All the more, you know, the fact even Bill Polian makes mistakes, obviously. It's very, very hard.
Even Bill Polian.
It's very hard.
I don't even know who he is.
Seriously, did you have a lombotomy?
Like how many first rounds?
Did I say
lombotomy?
He was doing the forbidden dance in his mind.
Right.
But it was in his mind.
Well, I see guys like Bortles all of a sudden rising. I mean,
not
like really
Bortles
all of a sudden.
There.
But Bortles hasn't.
The day Billy O'Brien took the job, some people said that's his number one pick.
Well, Bortles rose during the course of the
Manziel's
football.
Manziel's his number one pick.
No, they haven't said that. Manziel has tried to say
that. Yeah.
Who's they? The line of connection with George O'Leary and Central Florida and Bortles and this whole little incestuous relationship has led to the Bortles.
But you got Bridgewater, Bortles.
And Manziel. Those are the locks.
Manziel.
Those are locks
right.
for the first
Then
round.
You got James Gandolfini.
No.
What?
No.
What?
No.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh.
He's not a lock for the first
He's
round.
He's not a – what about
– Derek Carr could be a first round pick.
Okay.
I really liked him, by the way, too, in his little press brief.
Does he look
what
like
about
his
McCarron?
Brother?
Third round, maybe?
Really?
Second, third round.
Okay.
The wild card's my guy, Mettenberger. Mettenberger, where can you get him? He's who the Patriots should be taking.
I'd take him in the third round.
Now,
on a blank.
Was he LSU?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now
torn ACL.
I liked him because...
He's excellent.
He looked very pro-like in
yes.
the pocket.
Mm-hmm. He's tall. He's got a strong arm.
Good-looking guy.
I like him.
Yeah.
Looks the part.
I think that... If
How
you,
high would you take him?
I would take him in the third... Yeah. I can't take him in the second. I don't love him enough to take him in the second. Because if I'm taking him in the second on an ACL, it means I really think he's a first-round pick, but he's on an ACL. So I'll take him in the third, thinking he was a second.
Okay. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Not much.
How was the Tennessee offensive line that Bill Belichick was raving about in his press conference?
I like that. He said, hey, what's going on, y'all? Not much. He answered some questions.
This, I haven't seen it. I mean, I thought they got a lot of, I mean, and there's a lot of people down here that were, you know, all excited when they got that guy from Alabama. But I told them you're going to need a lot more than a guard to actually be productive in the NFL. I don't know why they thought they were going to be, you know, like the old school Ravens just run the ball down everybody's throat. I mean, I didn't think that was going to be all that impressive. But, I mean, I think they're an average line. They signed a lot of big-name people, and they get kind of average production from them. I don't think they were all that great whenever I watched some of their games. But
well, yeah, but all Bill really said is just it's not often you see so many guys from the same line. He didn't say he didn't really judge
well, he
their
said
talent.
Four were there, and you really the fifth could have been.
Right. So
you're talented. If you're breaking into five guys are breaking into the top 300.
I'm not necessarily sure that he thinks they're that great from that statement.
I don't know what he thinks,
other than fringe can jump. People in general, like people and stuff that I've talked to. I mean, I saw the interviews, but I didn't see – I mean, I just didn't think that a lot of people around here were just, you know, thinking that this new offensive line was going to bring them to a – To these new levels, but I just didn't think they were, you know, I thought they would be that same little, you know, 8-8 sale. I didn't think it was going to be too much of any difference.
All right, what do you got today?
Cool. I really didn't give my take of the season, so I had to kind of give my kind of synopsis. I think that I'm not really concerned still about the offense. I think the offensive course has some problems, but I think a lot of those problems can be fixed. I'm not concerned about loading up on the weapons like everybody else is, because you run to the playoffs, Tom Brady has a, you know, off day, then all your weapons really don't matter, I feel like. I'm still concerned about the defense. Overall, throughout the year, I still think the Patriots are kind of this one-trick pony. We can only beat you only by outscoring you, or you're going to give it to us from through turnovers. I feel like we should kind of help balance out the team. I like even the picks that they did last year, kind of getting Leon Washington, you know, leading the special teams. All that stuff was good, but I think they should kind of stay with that same philosophy and make sure they go out more of the defensive talent than, you know, just loading up and getting a Larry Fitzgerald. I wouldn't be all that excited about that. But with that being said, first of all, let me say this too, that being here in Tennessee, this has been some of the greatest weeks of my life. Seeing these looks on these people's face after Super Bowl 48 was awesome. Might I add, dumbfounded. And I love where everybody thinks this offense can do so much for you, but still, you got caught. You ran up against a tougher dog that can fight and balance, I mean, shut down your offense, and then you were left with nothing. So with that being said, what would be the highest pick if we could get? You remember Marcus Hunt, that guy, I think, from the Cincinnati picked him?
Yeah.
Big defensive project.
The Eastern Block.
What would be the highest round you would take them? Would you take a player like that this year coming up in the draft? And if Bill had a player like that, somebody maybe that's coachable, that has the size, the speed, whatever that might be, what would be the highest round you all would take them, and what do you think New England's going to do?
I mean, if they like the guy, they could take him in the first round.
Wait, you mean like a project a little bit?
Yeah, I'm talking about I'm talking about a real project. Like, you know how he had the background stuff?
Oh, they'll do that in the third round.
Second or third round, yeah.
You think second or third?
Yeah, but I mean, as Paul said, we've talked a lot on the defense. Well, you need to get X, Y, and Z. But you also have a lot of young guys on defense. And if you think, you know, Daron Harmon is going to make the jump and that Dennard is going to be fine and, you know, Jamie Collins is going to be a stud, you know, if you have faith in the picks you have made of late, the needs on defense might not be as extreme as we see them to be. Right?
Yeah. It could be. I would still be concerned.
I would be, too.
I am, too.
And I think, you know, some of them, you flat out don't have anything. I think you can cut ties with Jake Beckett and say they need depth at defensive end. Now, maybe you get that depth, you know, by signing a veteran, Julius Peppers, the John Abraham, whatever.
I'm not married to the draft.
If you believe all that, if you have faith in those young guys, maybe you do move up and take that one guy instead of looking for quantity, you know?
Sure.
You know?
As Paul said, we were very young last year. We're going to be very young next year. Now, there are some spots you need to add talent. Tight end, you need to add talent.
Yeah.
Defensive end, you need to add talent. You don't have enough guys.
They don't have enough defensive ends. They don't have enough edge guys.
I got to say this last thing, and I'll let you all go. I remember me around this time last year, it was I think Nick was involved with this. I talked to him about this recently too. But the putting so much emphasis on the year two jump, that right there would kind of scare me because I don't have that plan, that backup plan that I actually need. I mean, because now you're going to, like we did, we faced those later games. We put a lot of emphasis on Chandler Jones versus the in the Denver game, and he didn't sniff him.
Yep.
And I can't really fault him for that. He's a second year player. That's way too much pressure on my year two player. He could have that jump, he might not, but I just want to make sure I have something certain on defense where I'm not hurting on that position if I get late in the season and these people don't have that jump. Maybe the jump is maybe Chandler Jones turns into J.J. Watt this year. But, you know, I think it looked cautious a little bit last year. I just want to make sure that I don't want to say Harmon's gonna have the jump or whatever he might. He was quite
pretty good in this rookie season, but I want to make sure we have a plan B this year. These guys might not make the jump, and you know, taking the training camp.
Well, you just want more depth is what you want.
Right.
Thanks for the call, Melvin.
That one gets back to who I just mentioned, Beckett. Yeah. If Beckett had made a jump as a rotational guy.
Second round pick.
Yeah.
Third.
Was he third? Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, if he made the jump, I'm not saying he should be starting, but he should be playing.
He should be a rotational guy.
He should be active.
Chandler Jones a couple breathers so he can go to the sideline, just put his hands on the hip for two plays.
There was no need to be a game day active first.
There was no need to have your two starting defensive ends, according to Mike Reese, play more than 95% of the defensive snaps.
Right.
And that's you have a second-year guy.
And the only reason they got any time off is because they signed Andre Carter off the surgery table.
The corpse of Andre Carter. I mean, he's, what, 36, 35?
Yeah, he's old, and he has a bad quad.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, terrific career. Though. Had a terrific season in 2011. But what are you going to get out of him at this point?
Two sacks.
Jake Beckett needed to be more than an option than Andre Carter was. You know, Michael Buchanan was more of an option than Jake Beckett was. Yeah. And, you know, he's a seventh-round guy.
But I also don't think it's too much pressure to count on your 24th pick to play well in his second year and put a lot on his table.
Against, by the way, a backup tackle.
You know, how long are we going here?
Right?
How long are we going to wait before Chandler Jones is supposed to be a part of the core of your defense? The core of your defense.
It's not like the second coming of Jonathan Ogden shut him down in the playoff game. Hmm. It was a backup left tackle in Chris Clark playing for Ryan Clady who completely shut him down.
Plus, if you're a draft pick that's that high, you should want and expect that pressure. You were drafted high.
Oh, I mean, this is Melvin talking. I don't know if Chandler Jones was.
No, Chandler Jones is obviously not going to take himself off the hook for that. We know him too well. He's pretty hard on himself.
You should expect to.
But I think that, you know, there is something to be said about, you know, having guys to rotate. And when you play that many snaps, it's tough. You're going to wear down in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? And I think that was part of it. Yeah. I think it was part of it for both of them. I think they both slowed down as the season wore on.
Right.
And Melvin made a good point, too, about, you know, the whole turnover thing. That's when they seem to outscore everybody. You know, when they get the help with turnovers, that's how they win. And if the other team can somehow protect the football, we've seen it. They're in dogfights all the time.
Dave's in Connecticut. Hey, Dave.
Hey guys, how we doing?
Good.
You know, I agree 100% what you're saying, like with Beckett, and I know we have some free agents out there, like, you know, Jason Tuck, Jared Allen, you know, Julius Peppers.
Not out there yet, technically. Just to clarify.
Well, not technically, but
yeah, Andy and I are thinking
we
heard.
Make a splash this year. You know, we kicked the tires on Freeney and last year, you know, and we didn't do anything. You know, I read somewhere that Jones and Rob played, I think, something over like 90% of the snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so they definitely need that rotation, you know. And I think that, you know, D-line is something that we can address in the, you know, free agency. This kid from Seattle that's supposed to get released, Red Barrett.
Red Bryant.
Red Bryant. I would take Michael Bennett.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at him, you know, and he decided to go to Seattle, you know, and I was reading an article about him that, you know, he would definitely be interested in maybe coming to New England if the price, you know, if the price is right, of course, because
it won't be.
I think you're looking at more.
Yeah, you're talking about Michael Bennett, because Michael Bennett is the pass rusher.
Red Bryant. Well, Red Bryant's their interior pass rusher.
Yeah, he's not.
Run stopper.
Well, he's the guy that they targeted for the Tommy Kelly, the Jonathan Finene, the Mike Wright,
the Jonathan Finene year.
Right.
But that's the guy they really wanted, and Seattle got him.
Thanks,
really,
Dave, for the call.
You know,
but the thing about the free agents, I think they need to get not just a guy like, you know, rotational. I want a guy who has a specialty of getting after the pass. Jared Allen, to me, he's not just going to make Chandler Jones and Rob Ninkovich better. He's going to make your pass rush better because he's going to get there 10 times.
Well, right. He's a starter.
He's also a starter.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Like, he can, and I think you could get
the difference between that
legit
and
starter.
Do you know what I mean?
Like
John Abraham last year is going to improve your pass rush because he's better. He's not just going to make the other guys better. He's going to make you better because he's better than the guys that are blocking him.
But Allen is coming off a far better year than Abraham was coming off.
Yes.
By all accounts. And even though I know Abraham had a decent number they kind of thought he was done. Remember, they had these all these, he only did it against division opponents and against somebody.
It's amazing how you can really break down sacks that way. And sometimes, listen, it's valid. I'm not dismissing it. We did it with Tully Bantakane that year.
Sure.
And sometimes when you watch a guy week in and week out, and you look and say, you know what, he had a sack, but that was really the only play I saw in the whole game.
Right.
You know, and he might have had one sack on second down in the middle of the second quarter. Yeah, it's a good play. You know, it helps the defense, but not necessarily a going concern for the other team's offense.
And sometimes
you look up and you see, well, geez, he had 9.5 sacks or 11.5 sacks, and you're like, I don't remember a lot of game-changing plays with those sacks.
Right. Chris writes in from Plano, Texas, do you think Arthur Jones would be a good fit on the D-line, and could you see him taking a discount to play with his brother?
No.
No.
And no.
And no.
Okay.
I mean, I think he's going to make some money.
You don't think he'd be a good fit?
Why are we looking to pay money there?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying as a player.
Oh, I would take him as a player, but I'm not in love with him.
I think Arthur Jones is a good, solid, run-of-the-mill defensive lineman. I think he's a good player.
Right.
But I don't think he's a guy I would target in free agency. And I don't think that if not for his connection to his brother, I don't think anybody would look at him and say, we need to get Arthur Jones.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't think it'd be money well spent.
And I've heard a lot of that this offseason. You know,
by the way,
we
Fred,
get
did
him.
The cap go up since we've been on the air? Every time I look, it goes up.
132
went
projection.
Up 5% or something like that?
It's going to be more than that
up.
Now.
Yeah, really?
Just keeps going up.
Jeevan from Gold Canada, just want to point out that Chandler Jones just posted a picture on Instagram with him and Edelman walking together in Patriot jerseys in what seems like a charity event or food bank. If Edelman wanted to chase the money, don't you think he would separate himself from the team in terms of not wearing the jersey?
Nope.
I feel like he continues to show more and more signs of wanting to stay here. Saying that does a 4-year, $16 million with 8 or 9 guaranteed seem realistic for both sides? So he's asking.
4 years with how much?
4 years, 4-year, $16 million with 8 or 9 of it guaranteed.
I think Edelman would take that to stay. I don't think the Patriots would offer it to him.
And I've never doubted that he wants to be here.
I think he wants to be here.
And I don't think he's, like, spiteful and in some weird, I'm not going to wear a Patriots jersey. But I think if somebody offers him money and his agent says, listen, you got to be smart.
If someone offers him $8 million a year,
been reports that he's going to be in the $7 million a year.
There really haven't. There's one dumb guy who said that.
I don't agree that he will get that much. But is five,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
But is five out of the realm?
No, but that's a big difference.
Okay, no. But what I'm saying is we just offered him four. I don't think the Patriots will offer him that much. I think he would take that. I think he would take a little less than five to stay here if the Patriots offered that deal.
Right.
I think that's a very legitimate deal that the emailer put forward.
$16 million, nine of it guaranteed.
With about 8 or 9 guaranteed. Yeah. About it. That's the rule of half that Andy and I like to go with. I think that's a very plausible, realistic.
And if you hadn't given 31 to Amendola, you could sign it.
And that's why I don't think the Patriots would give it to him. If Amendola weren't on the books for what he's on for, I think they would absolutely offer him a deal like that. That's the Kyle Arrington deal.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
Ian from the UK just wanted to email talking about players the Patriots may have drafted before it's announced based on what the Twitter feeds are saying. I will admit that last year it did bother me as I love Goodell doing the official announcement. However, I have now changed my mind. If Twitter is going off the boil saying they are taking a guy, you should mention it. I don't see how you can sit there with information in front of you and pretend you don't know. I love the days before Twitter, but these days are gone.
What does off the boil mean?
Eric?
I haven't heard that one.
It's an English expression.
Susan Boyle?
Were you ever on the boil?
Oh.
I don't want to be on the boil. She looks like a boil.
Stop. That's not right.
I grew up with a girl.
Kind of looks like her?
No. A girl last name, Boyle.
Oh.
I wouldn't have been on the boil.
She got you hot?
Never had
Boyle
the opportunity.
Boyle got you hot? Hang on, I'm sorry.
Never had the opportunity, but would have taken it had
spilled
I
over.
Had I gotten it.
Fred from Delaware, I just wanted to share my thoughts. My first email, and I honestly think the Patriots shouldn't value the defensive tackle position like everyone else does. I say we should go pass rush on the edge before up the middle. The only guy I would draft first would be Aaron Donald. He provides the interior rush the Patriots need, but the Patriots should go with a cornerback first, with or without Tlaib, then go tight end in the second and defensive end in the third. Defensive tackle can be addressed in the fourth, in my opinion. Receiver can happen in any round for me. We will probably trade back, but this should be the order. Cornerback, tight end, defensive end, wide receiver, strong safety, defensive tackle. Additionally, I am tired. Yeah, but the thing about the flaw in those types of this is the order they should draft these guys in if you really think that you need a defensive tackle, now you're taking him in the sixth round. That's not addressing that as a need if you think that's a need.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I get back to my thing. You signed Kyle Arrington last year. You drafted Logan Ryan, and you have Alphonso Dennard. Do you feel good about those or not? I can't answer that. I don't know how their like postseason meetings go when they say, you know, Ryan's really just not that good, or we need to upgrade over Dennard, whatever.
Additionally, I'm tired of Steve Gregory. Everyone in Mike Reese says he's such a smart player. I don't want a smart guy. I want a guy who can limit yards after catch and someone who can help tackle Mike Wallace, not make him look like Calvin Johnson. He has officially made my Arrington remote throwing club. Of my Arrington remote throwing club? I don't know.
He throws the remote when Arrington makes a bad play.
It's not that hard. I hope DeRon Harmon makes the leap so he can start over that bum.
That's not
Same goes for Dobson and the rest of the rookie receivers. Have a good day. Keep up the good work. Can't wait for the draft.
Do you think Steve Gregory will be on the team next year?
Yes.
No. I saw him last night. He's here.
I think there's a very good chance.
But he may not start.
Maybe even very, very good chance that he's not.
Yeah. I do too.
I'm with you, Paul. He was at Trader Joe's.
I think hopefully not the one in framing.
Right,
him.
He's got the mumps or the measles.
The one right next door here.
The measles.
What happened there?
There's
a
measles outbreak. They're saying that you might be exposed to measles
in the Metro West area.
Oh. Yeah. I like how in that email, though, he said everyone and Mike Reese.
Right.
Does Mike Reese fall under everyone?
Mike Reese has been.
No, Mike Reese is different.
Mike Reese has been outspokenly in favor of Gregory. And I like Gregory probably a little bit more than most, but
he started the year off well.
Ideally, he's a third safety, ideally to me. And I think you can be okay I think they still need that physical presence.
Yeah.
And I know that's cliche, like the Rodney Harrison, they need a guy like me. But well, I think they do need a guy like that to go with McCourty, because I think McCourty would look a lot better if McCourty was the two. You know, and I don't care, free safety, strong safety, whatever they want to call them. Right now, McCourty is probably our best safety, and I think you need to have a better safety than that.
Mike from California.
No? You think he's fine as your best safety? I mean, I know he's a two-time second-team All-Pro.
I don't know. One vote, they need a different safety back there. Like, I think Gregory would be okay in more of a free safety role, although his tackling is at times disappointing.
Suspect.
Leave something to... But I do think they need the physical guy, and I'm not sure how that much it'll change McCourty. I think it'll change your defense. I think McCourty will still be the calm, collected, heady, you know, not going to get beat over the top too often guy, and I think he's fine. I don't think he's as good as a second-team All-Pro. I don't think he's as bad as whatever.
I think he's fine, somewhere in the middle. I think that's a good explanation.
Mike in California, in his opinion, he thinks Chandler Jones is almost a bust for a first-round pick. Mediocre production, he says.
Well, the production is fine. It's the impact that I would deem mediocre.
Because I would say his production has actually exceeded his play.
Yes, no question. Mm-hmm. But it's not impact. In terms of being a dominant edge guy, he is not there yet. Could he be there next year? Tune in.
Fred says, off the boil means form has gone bad, no longer performing at the level one was before.
Yeah, but where does it come from? I'd like to know what that means. Is it like a boil on your back?
Off the boil.
Is that what a boil is? Or is that a carbuncle?
You can have a boil on your...
What's the difference between a boil and a carbuncle?
I don't know. I never heard that word in my life.
Well, I'm pretty sure a carbuncle is like a big cyst-like thing on your back.
No, well, that's what a boil is.
No, wasn't it Simon and Carbuncle, right?
And he delivers it with such... No, I think...
Yeah.
Squinting like he really just thought of it.
It's all about
I might have to go back and listen to that Tuesday show.
Fred,
if there's more of that.
Fred, you would have been happy. I saw Rappaport, the crap sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in, what, a year? So I pat him on the back and go, douche.
Wait, really? You said that? Oh, man.
Oh, we hammer him.
Did you see him, too?
Did he give you the squinty?
What did I say to him?
He started laughing. Did he? I went to Andy and I go, I think he thinks that we joke with him.
What did I say to him when he was heading into the bathroom? I took a shot at him. Because he had to go by us to go to the bathroom. And I took
and
a
he
good
said
shot.
Something. He said something to us before. And then, of course, Andy couldn't just let it go.
Well, you mentioned you working hard on his penis size, probably.
No, I did not. It's always very professional.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
I also bumped into Paul Domowicz.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our buddy who writes for us every week.
Yep.
And he tweeted out before the combine started, over 900 credentials issued for the media. I remember being at the first one, there were two. So I happened to bump into him like a half hour later, and I was like, well, All right. Well, the question, who's the other one? You were here. There was two. Right. Who was the other one? He goes, well, evidently, a lot of people are claiming that they were here for that first one. So maybe I was wrong with that. So I said, so when Peter King talked to Pete Rozelle about the idea of starting a combine, he just started laughing.
By the way, we've reached Fraud Week or, I mean, Dion's now on interviewing people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if I were like a competitor to the people that he's representing, I wouldn't talk to him. I'd tell him to go F himself.
Right.
You have an interest in this.
Right. Yeah.
You're working with other people. That's wrong.
Yeah, I'm tired of him. I really am. Oh, by the way, we didn't really talk about it, but did you hear that?
It's random.
Obviously, Marino and Shannon Sharpe. Why is he wearing combine gear? But they're bringing in Bart Scott and Tony Gonzalez on CBS.
Oh, yeah, we talked to it on the way down, as predicted by this show.
Bart Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
What do you think about that?
I'm fine with it.
So obviously, they like the formula of the cool guy and the hothead. They're going
to
kill that.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to have somebody who stirs the pot.
Right.
If you don't have anybody who stirs the pot, you're boring like Paul.
I'm the cool guy. He's the hothead. I'm the cool guy. He's the hothead.
But I think that formula works. Mm. I think there's a lot of radio shows in this country that fail because they think you don't have to have a guy that's somewhat bombastic or talkative, whatever.
Yes, Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Alex.
No, more like Salkin Homie.
Alex of Providence.
Be there anytime you need me, though.
Everybody's talking about adding more talent to the defense, but I think people are forgetting how bad our offense was at times last season, especially in the red zone. Even when we had Gronk and Vereen back, we still weren't as good as in 2012.
That's bull. That's
incorrect.
Bull. I almost swore. That's ridiculous.
Oh.
It sucked when Gronk wasn't out there. It never sucked when Gronk
when
was
Gronk
out there.
When Gronk was out there, it was back to the dynamic.
35 points a game.
Yeah.
If we were to add an early round tight end along with Colt Light Lierla.
Wow, we're just taking druggies a dime a
later
dozen.
Later on, we take pressure off the receivers and let them grow. Spread
and put
the
pressure
defense
on the front office
for our running game and run through. Increase our red zone proficiency and take pressure off the run defense because teams would have to pass in order to keep up with our improved scoring offense.
Yeah, now I have no interest in Colt Lyra given the recent trend of events at the tight end position.
Two, on defense, everybody says that last season showed us that we need better players on the interior line, but I thought Salinga and Jones, who project as our fourth and fifth D tackles on the depth chart next year, played pretty well for an undrafted rookie and an NFL journeyman who has never started. If anything, 2012 got me excited that we might have two potential starting caliber tackles that we can groom behind Big Vince and Kelly. Do you agree?
Do we usually have five defensive tackles?
Sort of. I think that the way he put that, I would agree with. If those two guys are four and five, as Andy just sort of alluded to, you don't really usually have five. I think you'd be all
who's
right.
Who's three?
Armstead, I assume.
Really?
I assume that's
that
what he's talking
change.
About.
Does he exist?
Yeah.
Can he play? Does he still have multiple legs?
But I don't think as much of Jones
we don't,
and
it
Salinga
could have been a flesh-eating virus
they potential
or
start. They started last year because they had to.
My
guy
thing,
has
my
had
whole
a
thing
heart attack
death.
And a major infection, and yet we just assume he'll be fine.
I will say this about him. I did see him walking in the locker room AFC Championship
You
week.
Couldn't see inside him.
No, but I did see that
maybe
he
lost
legs.
A
he
kidney.
He was wearing shorts.
He maybe he
legs.
Lost a kidney.
Maybe.
All I'm saying is a guy that had a heart attack
and
a weird infection that kept him out a full year, we're just going to slot in and say he'll be fine.
Okay,
behind 230-something fat veterans.
Let me go.
He shouldn't be, Fred. Finally, you've brought sanity to the show.
No, let me go.
30-something-year-olds.
Let me go all PFW in progress on you. Better chance. He's part of the roster, part of the rotation on defense or not?
I'm going to go with Fred. I just don't know.
Okay, but I'm asking you better chance.
I'll say
gun to my wife's head?
I'd say no.
I'll say yes.
I'll say no.
I'll say yes, too.
All right.
At this point. Now, I mean, not knowing what they do in free agency
that doesn't
or the
mean,
draft.
That doesn't mean that he's good.
Right.
That is a complete crapshoot. We have no idea what he is as an NFL player.
Correct.
I think that he will be on the Patriots next year.
I don't know. I really feel like Fred.
I don't know either.
No,
I'm telling you what I think.
Better chance he's good or he never plays a down in the NFL.
Never plays it down in the NFL.
That's what I think.
That's a good one.
I find it, he's going to be a great story, by the way. If he's good, he's going to be a great story.
Oh,
Lion-eating Eric in Africa, great story.
I would say never plays it down in the NFL.
No,
but,
no, you know what? That's a better story.
But
you're
obviously,
right.
it's going to be in between.
No, I mean
it's
him. It's a better story.
And it's going to be all subjective, too, because, once he plays two games, Fred's going to say, oh, I was wrong. He's good.
Right.
Basically because he's in a uniform and you know, didn't fall down when he went onto the field.
Three tackles for loss.
He's in a Patriots uniform.
Right.
And not any uniform.
And didn't, like, run off the sideline
and fall
down.
If he goes to the Jets, like, we cut him, he goes to the Jets, and he has 22 sacks, Fred will say, he sucks.
Yeah, you guys have the heart for it. You guys have all the answers. I forgot.
No, we don't have any of them in this regard.
I really hope the whole Hernandez saga doesn't steer the Patriots away from Lierla.
Yeah, I want to get another one.
There's a big difference between extending a player with character issues to a big-money deal and just drafting one in the fifth round. If Lierla screws up, we can cut him, no problem. Plus, if we had Lierla, ASF, Oromaro, and Gronkowski all on the field together, we could have Fred catching passes as a receiver and teams would still be scared poopless.
All right.
No, but the issue is if you invest in him and draft him and have to cut him, you don't have the player you invested in to play the position.
Very simple. Look at it this way. Did you miss last year? What hurt the Patriots more, the cap hit that Hernandez took up or the lack of Hernandez on the field?
Lack of Hernandez.
So if the guy turns out to be a good player, it doesn't matter that you have to cut him as a fifth-round pick and lose nothing. You've lost a good player.
Correct.
Who you had. That's why I hate when they say there's no risk.
And why is everybody double-dipping on tight end? Now we need two plus Gronk?
Alex says, P.S., what do you think of Shiano as our defensive coordinator?
I don't like it.
The job is not available.
Right.
Let's go quickly on to the phones. Brian is in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Brian?
I'll try to be quick. It's funny that Hernandez came up because that was what I was curious about. Did you guys see the article that Albert Breer tweeted out this morning?
Yes.
Oh, this morning?
Wait, I didn't. The one specifically on Hernandez, the like going back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that was... Okay.
I highly recommend it because there's one comment there. He just nonchalantly said something, and it really struck a chord with me. And it was the indicator that Hernandez would have issues because he failed the drug test. And he said, you know, it indicated that he was immature or just didn't care. But the statement he said before was, The reason that's a red flag is because they're coached to pass the test.
Oh, that was an article he wrote a while ago. He just might have retweeted it. I read that last week. Yeah.
Okay.
It's yeah. 19th.
All those college 19th. Players are coached to pass those tests.
College?
How is that?
College?
Yeah. How is that?
College?
Yeah, well,
pros.
Well, both, but yes. Yeah.
There's no reporting on that? I mean, what's the point of the drug test then?
I don't know. What's the point of it in the
PR?
Olympics? None of the drug tests work anywhere.
A guy got nailed in the Olympics.
Yeah, one guy for a minor thing.
But he couldn't play.
A minor thing, though. Nobody got caught for anything major.
It was Nick Baxter.
No, but what difference does it make what he gets caught for?
Because they're missing all the guys taking steroids and HGH and all that. They get the rinky-dink tests.
The problem with the Olympics is they get
them. They're all on juice.
After the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
And they get their medals stripped. That's the problem with the Olympics.
Got to do it.
I'm still waiting for the first HGH.
Well, they don't test for that in
football.
Yes, they
do. It's a blood test.
No, in football.
Oh, yeah, not in football. Because they promised it to us 3 years ago, and yet it hasn't come yet.
Right.
Because there's no test that actually works, like the Olympics.
Yeah, I guess I just would be curious. I don't know why no reporters come out and really gotten into the details. How are they getting around it?
Well, because it's... I'm not sure any reporter knows the specific details of how every team...
And it's not like the head coach sits down the players and said, here's how you... It's it's more of... It's passed along by other players.
Just like steroid users. Just like, you know, Alex Rodriguez knows that, you know, I got to take it by the second inning, or if I don't take it by the second inning, it won't be through my system. And, you know, he tells so-and-so and the senior safety.
Right. It's stuff how you get to high school and you learn the tricks of the trade.
Yeah, I just see how infrequently players get caught, and I just automatically assume that that's not just coincidence.
You know, a little tied under the fingernail.
They beat the system.
I don't think that.
I don't know. I don't know how
that works these days.
I don't know how they're all doing it, but I know they are doing it because no one gets caught.
Right.
Or the peeing early and late. Remember the whole the mid pee is where you got to get it, not the early pee or the late pee.
When they had the story about you know, A-Rod, they had that guy in 60 Minutes. He had this whole formula of when to take it and
And all that trickles to the people that needs to trickle to.
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
Dick trickles.
Right.
No pun.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, I mean, there's,
although with you, it's always a pun.
There's cycles for steroids, but then there's tests for marijuana, whatever they say, PCP for Hernandez. I guess I'm just curious, like, does that mean they're announcing it? You know, hey, drug test coming up in 2 weeks. Clean up.
Well, some of them are pre-cut. Like, they know when that one's coming. Basically, when they start camp or right in that, and then, but yeah, they all know how to do them based on the week. You know, the piss man always comes on Wednesday to the NFL. So you have a random chance on a Wednesday. So you've sort of narrowed it down a little bit there and how you treat things in season. And I think they have a lot of guidelines that help them.
Okay. That just seems like a completely flawed system, and I guess
The problem with the system is the good guys are behind the bad guys at all times.
Yeah, the idea is really not to catch people. It's just to hope they just don't do it in the first place.
Yeah, no, actually, it's to hope that everybody thinks you're testing and catching them when you're really just saying, take whatever you need to be big, fast, and strong and hurt people.
Well, I'm talking about more marijuana, those types of drugs.
Well, now it's legal. They got a whole other issue going down the road there.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Brian. Let's go to Maurice in South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
What's up, Mo?
Hey, I got a quick question for y'all. There's a player that intrigues me. He was at the combine, and his name is I think Tyler Starr from South Dakota State.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys see him. I think he would be a good fit for the Patriots in the mid round.
He feels like a Patriot.
From looking at his tape from South Dakota State, I mean, he can put his hand in the dirt, rush the passer, drop back in coverage, and also help stop the run. I think that would be a good backup player behind the linebackers we have. What do you guys think about that?
He certainly feels and looks and oozes Patriot on a lot of levels. I think he could be a special teamer, even if he doesn't kind of fit in on defense. He's kind of a kooky guy. He had a very good L drill, three cone drill. So yeah. I feel like there's a chance. I think you're on to something there. I'm not saying he's going to be a Patriot, but he'll be in the pool of players upon consideration for them.
Well, he has good size, 6'5", 250.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I could see him at the very least covering kicks.
Yeah. Also, one more thing before I get off the air. I'm a lifelong Patriots fan, but if Steve Gregory is still on the squad come opening day, I'm done with the Patriots.
Oh, come on. Don't say that, Mo.
Mo.
That's
Mo,
ridiculous.
Mo, I'll give you a mulligan on that one. Come on.
Because Bill Belichick, if he's a defensive genius, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that there's nothing strong about Steve Gregory. To say he's a strong safety, that's an insult to the rest of the
Patriots in the league. Come on.
He's not a strong safety. Right. But right. I also don't think if he's on the team, you should turn in your Patriots gear.
Thanks, Maurice.
I mean, it's not like if Tim Tebow got signed.
Fred,
oh, wait a minute, we did that.
I'll tell you what, Steve Gregory's better at his job than Tim Tebow ever was.
Hell of a lot better.
Get an interesting tweet. We got another Michael Sam kind of put your foot in your mouth tweet here. Yeah. Steve Elkington, famous golfer, PGA Tour golfer, quote, ESPN reporting Michael Sam is leading the handbag throw at the NFL Combine. No one else expected to throw today. It's blowing up on Twitter.
The handbag
throw? You can't say that.
Yeah.
What's that?
I don't know.
Oh, stop it.
I don't know what that is.
Grab your bag.
Oh.
Southwest.
He has a bag.
For those
you
of
really
you
don't know
handbag.
What
handbag.
Yeah, handbag.
Oh, okay.
It's not like anything deep. It's just, making like a stereotypical.
Problem is, Brady has one too. So
I was thinking like some type of bean bag.
Those are big in Europe right now. You wouldn't know about that.
Or that.
No, I would not.
That was another name
that's right,
for a ball sack.
No, I would not.
Ball sack.
Aaron, you forgot your
honorary.
That does make me laugh every year.
When they show someone fast running. Did you see the little clip they put together for this, like he came out, he put the headphones on in slow motion, and they had "I'm a Man," "I'm the Man" playing, and they have all these guys like heckling him. A guy has a big sign that says, "You're slow."
See, the only thing I don't really understand about it, like I get it the first time, it's funny, a guy in a suit, like, is he trying to get faster or not?
Yeah, he's getting older, so he's got to get slower.
But trains for it. If he goes and sees Tom Shaw down in New Orleans and trains for it, I guarantee you he could shave like a half a second or a second off his 40.
Right.
But supposed to like not be training, but kind of trying to get better?
I think it's become
stupid.
It's dumb. Now.
It's like Leon Sandcastle.
Yep,
that worked so well. So now we're going to go with Jerry Rice Cakes or whatever. Like
the guy Archer who had the 4.26.
That's
stupid.
He's off the screen. But no, his big goal was to break 6 this year. And the first one he was 6 flat. The second one he was 5'9".
He's almost 6 yards behind him.
Is that official or unofficial, Paul?
He's in trouble if that's unofficial. Oh, that's not fair then, because then that would be like a 6'1", 2. That's ridiculous. Should give Arthur Lynch the same benefit of the doubt that he gets.
John in South Carolina, keep seeing people write that we're going after another tight end. Do you guys think the Patriots built themselves into a 2-tight end offense or just happened to fall into Gronk and Hernandez and made the best out of the talent they acquired? I see the Patriots as not wanting to pigeonhole themselves into a particular offense, so I think they will acquire talent and design an offense around the talent they find.
Yes.
I do think that there's some element of truth to that, the second part of it, but I know when they went into that draft, they specifically were looking to add tight ends.
They wanted to get than one. That Bill, that was the Bill O'Brien draft.
But I'm not sure they necessarily said they're both going to be on the field all the time and this is our offense.
And that's why I think the
just
end
like
of that would have some
year
truth
they
to
didn't.
It.
I mean, if they were strictly a two tight end offense, they would have had to find guys, scramble, and put guys on the field last year, and they didn't.
Yeah, and until, you know, they, because I thought, like, all through training camp, that one of the veterans would stay. Fells, Ballard.
Ballard.
I couldn't think of his name. I thought one of those guys would stay, and they would couple him up with the Who Man and continue the two tight end look until Gronk got back. They didn't do that, obviously, so.
Well, they had
the next great tight end, who, by the way, is not in the Jets' plan, so we could probably get him back.
Well, we should. He's the next great tight end.
Robin in Alaska, dictating how a live event like the draft gets discussed has to be a difficult thing. I feel for you guys trying to find the balance between information and entertainment. However, in recent years, the Christmas Day excitement of the draft has become a frantic race with Twitter. I'm not saying you have to assemble that Lego set you just got, but at least finish unwrapping each present. By the way, Andy, I believe off the boil is referring to cooking, not physical ailments. I believe that's true as well.
Oh, so you take it off the burner and immediately starts. Okay.
Oh, B-O-I-L.
You're not sure there, are you?
No, I thought the same thing you think. I was thinking boil.
Right.
I wasn't thinking boil as in
not carbuncle.
Which is funny that we were thinking. We were all thinking the same thing.
I was thinking boiling water.
Boiling water would be the much more common word. I mean, oh, well. Chalk up another one for just how dumb we are.
Silvio, I just wanted to know a little on the status of wide receiver Mark Harrison. Is he still on the team? If so, will we keep him in? Will he be ready for minicamp, camp, et cetera? Physically, he's a beast, but I haven't seen him play much in college. What's his skill set?
Then how do you know he's a beast?
Everything we said about Armin Armstead apply to Mark Harrison. The exact same analysis.
I think it's probably even worse in Harrison's case because I think he's more of a project than Armstead is.
But I mean,
but
similar
circumstances. I agree with
exact
you.
Completed at a lower level twice, USC and Rutgers, and then he went to Canada and success there, and Harrison came here and didn't do poo.
As a guy who already got cut from another team and is an undrafted free, you know, who didn't do anything his whole rookie year, he's even at a lower level than.
And he paid an extra fee to clean
Michelle loves it when I call her Shalata. For Paul and Andy, since you just got back from the combine, if you could pick one player to draft, who would it be and why? Also, I'm interested in
Jadeveon Clowney.
If you had the chance to talk or see Mettenberger, I know he's coming off an ACL, but if Mallett isn't the heir to Brady, would this be the year you draft someone like Mettenberger who has a gun for an arm and also is more of a pocket passer and carry three quarterbacks? Obviously, assuming he'd fall in the draft and would be there in the lower rounds. Yes. I know he had some run-in with the law.
Oh, who doesn't?
Right.
Especially in these drafts the last few years, it seems like everybody. Yes, I would absolutely take Mettenberger. I know that a lot of people think McCarron is the guy, but I like Mettenberger more than McCarron.
I don't think McCarron can play. I don't think there's a chance McCarron is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL of upper level.
I don't think he's
above 20. As an NFL starting quarterback, I think there's a chance that Mettenberger could be a top 12 starting quarterback in the National Football
League. I agree that I think that Mettenberger's ceiling is higher, but like.
And his floor is lower.
McCarron.
First time we brought that one out this year.
McCarron, you know, he couldn't be Andy Dalton.
It won't be the last.
I'm not sure he's as good as Andy Dalton. And I don't think much of Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
No, I know you don't, but I think he could be as good as he. I mean. I don't think a ton of Andy Dalton either.
McCarron
is
just
a
kind of floating in
NFL
the room. He's not near the ceiling and he's not near the floor.
I'd be surprised if he's even as good
as
Andy
Dalton.
He's a
chair rail.
I don't know. He made some big throws in big spots last year.
So didn't what's his name?
Who?
I don't know, the other guy.
McElroy?
Yeah.
No
Johnny
way.
Football?
He made some plays.
No way.
Yes, he did.
Nothing like McCarron.
I think McCarron blows.
Okay.
I think he's just a guy.
I think he's a little better than that.
Just a guy. He'll have a nice long bounce around career.
Well, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about the draft.
McElroy will not.
Now, by
no,
the,
have
won't.
A long bounce
now,
around.
By the time,
he's probably better than McElroy, but marginally.
By the time we get to Tuesday's show.
Or Thursday.
No, but I'm talking about next week. When does the new season open up? Is it March 5th or
8th is the open tampering. And
11th is
free agency.
So it won't be
next week.
A little ways away. All right, so we'll be back Thursday with more Combine talk. There's still a lot of stuff. You guys are going to post on Patriots.com. And, by the way, all the stuff from the weekend was amazing.
Yeah, we got to re-rack that. Yeah. Can we get that more in the rotation?
We get that
don't
in
get
there.
That buried. But
you're going to do your top 10 takeaways from the Combine.
You better believe it, buddy.
So that'll be up this week. And, again, we'll be back at noon. So I guess that's it. I'll see you.
I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. So you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.